Good morning. We had basically finished looking at the sugya of Mashkon last time. We had looked at the din of Rav Yitzhak about who kona Mashkon, asked the question as to when he's kona Mashkon, and asked the question as to what level of achrayus this we are talking about. Lichora, the question of the level of achrayus, as we pointed out, is really a question of what it means, balchov kone mashkon. To what extent this is a real kenyan or not. The lashon of Tosos is balchov kone mashkon kenyan gomer, even though we'll see that lashon's a little challenging. Likewise, Rashi says in Bat Metzia, kona l'chol mili, right? Kona for everything, kona totally. Or the Rid says kona l'guvayna. He's kona as a collection. So one way of understanding what we mean by balchov kona mashkon is that it's a real kinyon, right? The balchov really acquires the mashkon. It's really his. However, there's a zechut of pidyon, like many other things in the Torah as well. The other option is, right, kinyan mamish, this is the Lashon of Tosos, says kinyan gomor, or the Lashon of Rashi in Bava Metzia, which says kana l'chol mili, for all purposes, or the Lashon of the Rid, who says liguvaina, for collection, which simple shot means he's collected it. Or do we say, no, Balchov Kone Mashkon doesn't mean a Kenyan Mamish. It just means that you have acquired the right to have a Shibud for your Chov in this. As, for example, the Lashon the Ritva in Shuas that I put on the last Makorah sheet says, Yesh b'Shibud ze Kenyan HaGof. It's a Shibud in the Mashkon. This Shibud in the Mashkon is not that you own the Mashkon. You just own the right to collect this Mashkon in the future. But this shibud, apparently there's two types of shibud. There's a regular shibud, which means you don't actually own anything now. You just have this abstract, disembodied right. And then there is the an embodied right, a shibud that lies in the chayfetz. You have a partial ownership in this chayfetz for the shibud of this chov. And likewise, that's the rimigash shed in shvuos that I put in brackets, that it's a kinyan le'inyan shibud. So it's just a Kenyan le'inyan shibud, which is what the Rigash says, and what the Ritva says, it's a shibud with a kenyan aguf, and what Tosos says in his second din, olim shibude, right? It's a strong shibud, right? Tosos, in his dargabet, right? Olim shibude, it's not a real kenyan, it's just a strong shibud. And lichora, where might this come up? This might come up in the discussions of the Machne Ephraim. I'm not necessarily going to endorse the Maskun of the Machne Ephraim. We think about that ourselves. The Machne Ephraim discussed whether that Mashkon can survive the destruction of the Chov. And he has this case in two ways. What if the Chov disappears? Do you still keep the Mashkon? Right? So if Bal Chov Kona Mashkon is a real Kenyan, then even if the Chov disappeared, you think you should perhaps still keep the mashkon. But if the if it's merely a stronger shibud, it could be that it's all tuffel to the mashkon. This comes up in two places that the Machne Ephraim quotes. Number one, the question of a ger shemes, right? Why are we talking about a ger who dies? Because he has no yorshim, right? The Jew always has to have yorshim, at least theoretically, which affects the halacha. A ger who could have yorshim if he produces them subsequent to his conversion, but at least if the ger has not produced any offspring subsequent to conversion, he can have no yorshim, and therefore when he dies, his property is hefker. There's also a lot of discussions, if you look in the Shut Maharam, that the Machne Ephraim quoted, but if you look inside in those simanim, all these discussions, what about a guy who dies? But those are not quite as pristine as the case of a ger who dies, because after all, a guy does have yorshim. So that gets very complex. And the rules of a maskil from a Jew to a goy, according to the Gemara Masechta, might be different than a Jew to a Jew. So let's see, he brings here a machlokas based on how to interpret the Gemara in Baba Kama Daf Mem test. The Gemara seems to say that, right? That's if you steal from the ger and he dies, then it goes to matnas kahuna. But that's only if you stole. But if the ger stam has property, then it is hefker. So the question is, what if you borrow money from a ger and give him a mashkun and he dies? So you don't owe him money anymore. That's clear, right? The chov disappeared. Normally, if I borrow money from someone who dies, I owe it to his kids or his closest relative, right? I don't owe any money, but he's still holding on to the mashkun. So what's the status of the mashkun? Do we say the mashkun is now hefker because he owned it and he died and it's hefker? Or do we say the mashkun is now mine because since I don't owe any money anymore, it is my mashkun? That is a fundamental machlokas rishonim that he quotes here, the Tosos and the Rush. And the Rashba, sorry. So what about a case of Ger Shehelva al Hamashkon Umes. Who does the Mashkon belong to? So here brings out a machlokas between the Rashba and Tosos on the page versus the Maharam and the Shut Maharam quoting Rabbeinu Tam. Right? The Shut Maharam quoting Rabbeinu Tam says that it's Hefker. Right, so here is Rabbeinu Tam in the Shut Maharam in Wittenberg. The Mashkon is Hefker. Why is the Mashkon Hefker? Because it mamish belonged to this ger. If it mamish belonged to this ger, then he died, it's Hefker. However, the Tosos and the Rashba, in Bava Kama say, nope, it reverts to the Loveh. That makes a lot of sense. If Kenyan means you have this right to a stronger Shibud in it, but you don't own the Mashkon, you just have the Shibud in the Mashkon. Okay, once you die, that person dies, so your Shibud disappears. But if it means he really owned the mashkon, there was just chus pidyon, okay, he really owned the mashkon. If he dies, it is hefker. He brings a very similar machlokas. What about the case of a somewhat parallel machlokas, although not exactly the same, is what about helva al hamashkon u machal halva? What if the guy lends, he takes my mashkon, and then he's mochal me? If he's mochal me, do I get my mashkon back or not? If he's mochel me. So, because after all, let's say, just as an example, if I sold you my pen or gave it to you as a gift and you were mochel it to me, it wouldn't help. You have to be mached it to me. It's a matana, right? Mechila helps as a chov to take away shibud. It doesn't help to transfer property. So, what if the guy is mochel? So, here he quotes another machlokas here. He quotes a Ran and a Ritva and a Baal Ha'iter. A Ran and a Ritva and a Baal Ha'iter. And the Baal Ha'iter that says, Mechila doesn't work. Mechila doesn't work. And he quotes a Shut Maharami Rutenberg, not quoting the Rainer Tom this time, who says, Mechila works. And there's a Tosin Dafkir test who also applies Mechila works, but it's not clear if he's talking about Shasa Vaso or Shaloba Shasa Vaso. So it's not exactly clear what case he's talking about. So the Machle Ephraim suggests that this is a product of the same machlokas. If you say it's really a strong kinyan, then mechila should work. Mechila doesn't work in a kinyan. If you say it's merely a shiva that's tuffled to the chov, then mechila should work. Here, what's interesting is that the ritva, even though the ritva by in Shavuos that I put in the Korah sheet, said, sheyesh b'shibud ze kinyan haguf. This shibud has a kinyan haguf. You know, but he still called it a shibud. Apparently, he thinks even though it's a partial kinyan, you know, it's strong enough, the ritva would be somewhere in the middle here. The ritva would be somewhere In the middle here, who would say that it's definitely not a full kinyan, but a strong enough partial kinyan that mechila doesn't work. So the Ritva himself, on the one hand, he says the Shibud has a kinyan of goat, but it's not a kinyan gomer. On the other hand, he says that you can't be mochalit. So apparently he thinks that somewhere in the middle, it is more than just a Shibud, less than a full kinyan. So it's strong enough that you can't be mochalit. You need to do a kinyan on it. But still, as he points out, the other nafkin is not strong enough to be chayiv and own sin, etc. And the Machli Ephraim himself has a funny maskana. He's very, very convinced. He's exceedingly convinced that it's a Kenyan Gomer. Then he says, but if it's a Kenyan Gomer, then how can anyone say that when your mochel, it disappears, the Shutma Ram, or the Tosin Rashba, that when the Ger dies, it reverts back to the Lover, it was kind of Kenyan Gomer. So he wants to have a funny formulation. He says, it's a Kenyan Gomer, but a temporary Kenyan Gomer. It's a Kenyan Gomer as long as there's a Chov, like Al Tnai, as long as there's a Chov. Once the Chov disappears, the Kenyan Gomer disappears. Okay, I'm not going to put that on the board. That's an interesting perspective of the Machne Ephraim. I'm not sure that I'm convinced that it is absolutely Pashup Shat. Of course.
The relationship to the Mashkon changed over time with Professor Soloveitchik.
Okay, so.
The relationship changed. They thought differently, and then they couldn't see it any other way.
Yes, Chaim reminds us of Professor Soloveitchik's book. Anyone who's interested in history of Halacha, our Rebbe, Chaim Soloveitchik. Oh, there's also an English one.
Yeah, he just
Has a book, Halacha Kalkala V'Dimoy Yatzmi, about money lending in the Middle Ages, various halachos. Which is now also in English in the collected writings, in the collected writings that he just reprinted, that he just published, rather. It's mostly about how they got around the Issur Ribbis in the days of early Rishoni Ashkenaz, before they invented the Heter Iska. And it all has to do with lending money to Goyim and lending money to Jews, and what's really loan between Jews and Goyim, what's really loan between Jews and Jews. And part of the discussion there is Mashkon. Some of their halvos were not with the Mashkon, some of them were. Part of the discussion with Mashkon, how do you transfer a chov with the Mashkon? Can you sell a chov with the Mashkon? Okay, I'm not going to go through it now, but Ayin Shab, Joel.
Can't you get Reb Chaim in here? And when you say that if the Mashkon is just the, I don't know, the incarnation of the chov, I don't know another word. So then once the chov is gone, so the Mashkon is gone too.
But I would think Adarava, though. If the Mashkon is just the incarnation of the Chov, that's a double-edged sword. If the Mashkon is the incarnation, good word, of the Chov, then maybe you can't be Mochel this kind of Chov, because you can't be Mochel something that is of substance, something that is concrete, right? So it gets a little tricky.
And the Chov can exist without the Mashkon. The Mashkon can't exist without the Chov.
Okay.
Or maybe.
Okay, fair enough. Unless maybe you say that's what the Machne Ephraim had in mind. That's what you're trying to say. Okay. I just want to point out that obviously has to do with what we discussed last time. Pashas, for most Rishonim, the Chi of Onsin, or Chi of Achrayas, if you view it as a Kenyan Gomer, you should be Chayav in Onsin. We saw it was the Shita of Rashi and the Raivan and the Rid. Right? And we pointed out that the mainstream way that the Achronim understood the Chi of Onsim was not like a Shoal Chayv Onsim, but like a Bailavus Chayv Onsim, right? Because he owns it. And when you own something, if it's Nenas, then it's your tough luck. As opposed to those who say only Gneva Aveda, or is there Lashon Kishom or Sachar, and then we had a Fakir, which we're not going to repeat now, whether it's Mamash Shomer Sachar, just like a Shomer Sachar, which is the opinion of the Rambam and the Tosfos, and the Ramban, Rashba, and Ritva, and others. again, if you see it as a real Kenyan Gomer, then you're the Bible. If you lose it, you lose it. If you see it as just a stronger Shibud, then perhaps that would cause you to be a Shomer Sachar. Either because you're partial, as we ended with last time, your partial ownership causes you to have a Chrayas per se, or because it gives you some benefit. It makes the benefit more internal, which then counts as a scar mitzvah shomer sachar. That's what we ended off with. And here, of course, one sheet of that is a little funny. Is Tosfos. Tosfos says the Kenyan Gomer, at least shalom b'shas havasa. Right? And yet, Tosos says you're only chayev as a Shomer Sachar. He's really the only one who crosses lines here. Everyone else, when they discuss Onsen, talk about it being a Kenyan Gomer. And when they discuss Shomer Sachar, talk about it not being a Kenyan Gomer. Tosos calls it a Kenyan Gomer and says nonetheless that you're only chayev as a Shomer Sachar. So what to make of this Tosos is a little unclear. I don't know if Masifta says anything about this. You can tell me if there's any read on it. What to make of this Tosos is a little unclear. Either you have to say when Tosos says Kinyan Gomer, he doesn't really mean it, which is a little dachuk because he seems to be contrasting Kinyan Gomer with a strong Shibud. Or you have to say something a little mechudish, that Tosos holds the Kinyan Gomer. I've given you this legamre. I've given you this as a total Kinyan, if it's Shlomo Shasal Vaso. But nonetheless, even though I've given to you as a total Kinyan, I still owe you the money for the Chov. I've given it to you as total Kinyan, but not as payment for the Chov, in addition to the Chov. That's a big Kiddush. Meaning, I owe you the money, plus I've given you this Mashkun of Kinyan Gomer. So if it's your fault, even a little, and the Mashkun gets stolen or lost, then you lose the money. But if the Mashkun gets destroyed through no fault of your own, I still owe you the money. That's a big Kiddush, because it's like I'm paying you twice. Number one, I give you a Kinyan Gomer on the Mashkun. Number two, I still owe you the money. It's not payment, it's just an additional Kenyan. That's not intuitive to me. Like, why should I have to pay my loan twice? Like, if I gave you a Kenyan Gomer on my watch.
The money is paid back.
They
keep the Mashkon?
No, he can't keep the Mashkon, the money's paid back. But if an onus happens to the Mashkon, he still has to get paid back. No, not ad kedei kach. I don't actually pay him twice, that would be ribbis. But I'm giving him a Kenyan Gomer on something, and nonetheless, I still owe him the money. So you have to say, therefore, for Tosfos, what does Tosfos mean? Right? Either not literally Kinyan Gomer, which I think is Dachuk, or Kinyan Gomer, but not as Piraon, rather, additional Haftacha. Right? I give you the Kinyan Gomer, but not like the Rid says. The Kinyan Gomer is now I've paid my debt. Right? That's the payment. If the Kinyan Gomer is payment, then if an onus happens, you're already paid. Right? I Kinyan Gomer, but a Kinyan Gomer not as payment. A Kinyan Gomer as Haftacha. Why am I giving you a Kinyan Gomer? Okay, because you wanted a big Haftacha. Apparently the Chiddush of the Jerus HaKasav is that even though I haven't paid my debt yet, right, toast in between, I haven't paid my debt yet, but it's more than a Shibud. It's a Kinyan Gomer. If I haven't paid my debt yet, why am I giving you a full Kinyan on something? Okay, that's the Chiddush of Rabbi Yitzchak of Mashkon. Even though I haven't paid my debt, I'm merely giving it to you as Haftacha, as a guarantor. Nonetheless, I'm giving you a Kinyan Gomer on this. Now, of course, it doesn't mean you can keep this and collect your debt, but it does mean that right now it's yours as a Kenyan Gomer. If you choose to keep it or end up keeping it, if I choose to let you keep it as a Kenyan Gomer, and if you don't end up keeping it, either because I redeem it or because it gets struck by lightning, then it is not a Kenyan Gomer. So this Tosos would then be a Chiddush, if here we would think, at least, that it's a Kenyan Gomer of Piraon, and here it's a partial Kenyan of Shibud. But Tosfos is basically saying it's a Kinyan Gomer for Haftacha. Here, if we ignore Ruchai for now, but we say Kinyan Gomer, Piron, or Shibud Chazak, Olam Shibude, Shibud Chazak, or Kinyan Shibud, for Haftacha, if it was a Kinyan Gomer for Piron, then I already paid you. If it gets struck by lightning, I don't have to pay you again. Maybe what Tosfos holds is it's a Kenyan Gomer for Havtacha.
But Tosfos was really after. Tosfos isn't so
talking about Shlomo Shasav.
He's not interested. Because that didn't really happen. What people did is that they did. But Tosfos
what do you mean? I could give you. No, but that's
and
then
this. You have to prove it.
I'm not talking about Chaim's book. I'm talking about Tosfos. Tosfos says Shlomo Shasav, so it's a Kenyan Gomer, but you're not Chaim Benonsen.
But that's not interesting. Because what's interesting is to try to prove Bishasav. Because that there's no mokor for. And he's got to come up with this idea of Olim Shibudei to make.
Okay,
to
put the we're not arguing. Them. You're right now interested in one half of Tosfos. I'm interested in the other half of Tosfos.
Right.
I'm talking here about Tosfos. Shalom b'shas
havah. Where the Malva comes after a while and says, "I really want to be paid."
Tosfos shalom b'shas havah.
But who would lend like that?
What?
Nobody. Normally, nobody would lend like that. You don't lend that a year after the loan.
I lend
the
you.
First time, and you don't take any. You don't take any mashman. And a year later, you just come and you say, "Okay, now I want."
Apparently, it happened in biblical times. It's discussed.
Oh, it's a long time from biblical times.
Okay, say that. I don't care if it actually happened in Tosfos times. I care how he interprets the Gemara. And I'll just point out one last thing that we discussed, which is probably we're running a little out of space here, but the question of the Shah. So, if you say that it's a Kenyan Gomer, then it makes more sense to say, then it's not Mokr by any stretch of the imagination, but it's more likely to say that you're only talking about Shalom B'Shas Havaso. After all, a Kenyan Gomer is probably more likely Shalom B'Shas Havaso. That is what Tosa says the Kenyan Gomer, the Rid says the Kenyan Gomer, and Rashi Bar Metzia doesn't say anything, but the flow of the Gemara might imply that. And if you said that it's just a stronger Sheba, then maybe that would be a Afilu B'Shas Halvaso, which is not the opinion of all the Rishonim, but the opinion of many of the Rishonim. So basically, all the Rishonim would say it's a Kenyan Mamish, basically restricted to Shalom B'Shas Halvaso. Rashi doesn't say anything explicitly, but on the sugya where he says it's Kanal Kalmili, is the sugya where it says Shalom B'Shas Havaso. Tosa says the Kenyan Gomer only in the Dargah of Shalom B'Shas Havaso. The Rid clearly restricts it to Shalom B'Shas Havaso. Those who say that it's a Kenyan of Sheba, not a Kenyan Gomer, some of them say it's even Shalom B'Shas Havaso, like Tosa's second Dargah, and like the...
Well, what's Tosa's second Dargah? Tosa says that if it's B'Shas Havaso, it's not a Kenyan Gomer.
It's Olam Shibuda.
Yeah. That's what you mean by... Okay, so that was the chilek, though, that you mentioned a minute ago. Meaning it's just B'Shas Havaso. It's not even Shul B'Shas Havaso.
One second.
In other words, I don't think Tosfos, does he really belong there? Because but when you're quoting Kenyan Mamash, you're quoting people who are talking about B'Dakka Shul B'Shas Havaso.
Okay, so let me make very clear. This is Tosfos Darga Aleph. I'll write which Tosfos is which. You're right. I was confused. I think I was right. I might have not been clear enough. Tosfos Darga Aleph is on this side of the Chakira. Tosfos Darga Beis on that side of the Chakira. That's the nature of these Tzvei Dinim.
How do we know that Rashi and the Rid would disagree with that? They just don't talk about B'Shas Havaso. How do you know that Rashi and the Rid would disagree with the Tosfos Chilak of having two Dargas, B'Shas Havaso versus the B'Shas Havaso?
Ah, because it's clear the way they answer the Sugyas that they don't hold from two Dargas. Otherwise, they would have used that to answer the sugyas. That's a strong argument from silence.
Okay.
And this Tosfos I'm talking about is Shalom B'Shas Havaso, is Darga Aleph. Okay. So, just to summarize what we've seen a fundamental, what we really saw yesterday was a fundamental machlokes on Balkov Konam Mashkon. Does it mean a full Kenyan, in which case likely it means you're Chayiv and Onsim because you've been paid, and likely it's only Shalom B'Shas Havaso because that's when it's a full Kenyan. It would be interesting to see if someone said even B'Shas Halvaso you're Chayv and Onsen. But I haven't found that in any of the Rishonim explicitly.
What did you find? That
B'Shas Halvaso you're Chayv and Onsen.
Oh.
You have anyone like that?
No.
Okay. No. It would be interesting, but that would make all of Mashkon more like a real sale. But I haven't seen that. And then the Machne Ephraim should say, even if the loan disappears, the mashkon stays, so if the loan disappears because the ger dies, the mashkon's hefker, and if the loan disappears because you're mochel, then you still keep the mashkon. Or, on the other hand, you could say it's just a kinyan of a strong shibud, meaning an embodied shibud as opposed to a disembodied shibud, and in which case, you could say it's only Shalom B'Shas Havaso, so you even have that strong shibud, or you could say even B'Shas Havaso, so you have that strong shibud, you have that stronger shibud, and then l'chori should only be a shomer sachar, and then l'chora, you should, even if the loan disappears, the mashkon, your rights in the mashkon should disappear as well, and they should revert. The mashkon should revert to the lova. Yes?
Okay. The Rebbe said you couldn't find a report. Didn't we bring this up last time that it might be a machlokas and the gear sub what the Ravid really said in the Ritva and the Ran? I'm remembering this correctly, meaning versus the Ritva, who says that the Kinyan is a...
That if I say Kineza L'shir Mane or L'shibad Mane.
Right.
Yeah, but he doesn't say anything about Rav Yitzchak there, does he?
No, but he's talking about the Kinyanim inside of the Mashkan.
But he's not saying because of Rav Yitzchak. It could just be because you can be Makadish with a Chov with or without Rav Yitzchak.
One second.
Although if Gemara brings in Rav Yitzchak later,
Dashna Kani Mashkan L'shibad L'sochiyev.
The question
versus the Rans formulation.
Ah, so if you say that that's not a Tosofer, unlike the Tzos, then maybe he means Rav Yitzchak applies in that case.
Right.
Give it. Okay, that would be a chiddush to fit in with the Rashita of the Ravid. Okay, let's think about it. It's certainly yesh ladun, but not, you wouldn't say it's a makor mefurish. A, because, you know, someone questions the Gersa, although.
Right.
And B, because he doesn't explicitly relate to Rav Yitzchak in this context, or Chiv Onsim, or etc. We're putting two and two together.
Yeah,
okay.
So. When you were doing the song, you said it's more Kenyan, and you said it's likely.
Because I could imagine someone saying that even if I give it to you b'shas halvaso, so it's really a full kinyan. Even when I lend to you and give you a mashkan b'shas halvaso, so I really mean I'm selling it to you with a right to be poded. I don't. One could imagine that, like in a pawn shop. When I go to a pawn shop, usually, you know, not that I go to. I don't know if they still have pawn shops. I haven't seen them where I in my local malls. But when I go to a pawn shop, I don't know, do I really mean to like borrow money or do I really mean to like sell this, but if I can, you give me a chance to redeem it. So I could have seen someone saying that it's a kinyan gomer, even b'shas halvah, so in which case the whole ma'aval al-mashkon is more of a mechira than a halva. But no one said that, so that's why I said likely, because theoretically I could have said others said otherwise, and it would be fascinating if I found somewhere in the Rishonim otherwise explicitly, or even implicitly if I became convinced, but I haven't found that idea.
Shortcut of saying here's a whole list of basket of liabilities that you get when you, and it's everything. Once you reserve anything from that, is it no longer full kinyan?
Okay. That might be a question of semantics. So I'm not sure if I'm going to answer now. But you're right. So what some of the Rishonim say is since you can be poded, that shows it's not a real kinyan. But perhaps you could say even though you can be poded, it is a after all, you know, when I sell you a house in, you know, a walled city, I could be poed there according to Din Torah.
Disagree, you could say.
Right.
Saying,
okay.
The difference is
right. 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 Correct. Okay. You're right. I have to use the terms in a certain way. Okay. So let's leave the realm of Mashko now and go back to the realm of Kiddushin. If we're on the Gemara Daf Chesamid Beis, about 10 lines down or so. Tan Rabbanan, Hiskad Shili B'Maneh, Nitaltos Raktu L'Yam O L'Or L'Chol Dover Ave. I say to a girl, "Bim kadeshu with this money." She takes the money and throws it into the fire or the sea or any place it gets destroyed. Ain't a mekudesh. It's not kiddushin. The assumption is, the moral clarify, because she is by taking it and throwing it into the fire or the ocean, she's saying, "I don't want to be mekudesh to you." She's just trying to put me down and express her displeasure at my chutzpah to offer kiddushin. The Ahasha de Tinu Kameh Havu Kiddushin. Hold on a second. You said Davka Davra Ave. That means if she throws it into the furnace, it's not Kiddushin. But if she throws it on the ground in front of me, it is Kiddushin. Why would that be? Isn't that also refusing it? No. Hakamer the Shakalabina. She's telling me, take it back. I don't want it. The other says, Lomi Bai Kamer. No. Obviously, that's obvious that if she throws it on the floor, it's not Kiddushin. The chiddush, if she throws it in the ocean, it's not kiddushin. Lo mi b'ayish detinu kamei d'lavi kiddushin. It's obvious if she throws it on the floor in front of me, it's not kiddushin. That's pasha. She's saying no. Avos rakto liyama l'or eima kevim chai vei kiddushin kadosh nafshe. But if she throws it into the ocean or the fire, I might have a havamina that is kiddushin. Why? Because she has to pay now. Right? If I say, I'm kiddush with this, and I give it her, she throws it into the ocean, she owes me money. So you might think that you might think there's a chazaka. No one would stam want to lose money, right? So why would she, let's say I gave her a diamond ring, Hariyat Mekadeshesli, and that diamond ring is worth, what's a diamond ring worth? $5,000. And she throws it into the ocean. So you might think there's a strong chazaka that no one wants to owe me $5,000, right? So obviously she intended that it would be Kiddushin. And that way she doesn't have to owe me $5,000 because it was she had the right to do whatever she wanted with it. But still, why? What's the happening? Why would she, if it's her own money, why would she throw it in the ocean? So Ema came Vahadika of the Hachi Savar Ivdik Lagavri Ritachling Olo. And the reason why she's thrown to the ocean is she wants to test me if I'm a guy who gets with a temper, if I get angry easily or not. She wants to test my midos to see if I'll get angry at her or not. So okay, it's a bit of a strange Havamina. Like on the one hand, I hear the Havamina. She doesn't want to owe me $5,000. That part of the Havamina would be good. But the other part of the Havamina is like, she doesn't want to owe me $5,000. Instead, she's throwing her own $5,000 into the ocean in order to test me. Okay, so it's a weak Havamina.
Why is that weak?
Why is that weak?
Because
it's a really weird thing that someone would throw their own money in the ocean to test me. That's a strange thing to do. Only very strange people do that.
Serious, people are nervous.
What?
I don't think it's so crazy.
Okay, so maybe you're strange.
What if he feels
good question. So I looked at the Mefarshim. They don't say explicitly like what happens if he does. They don't say explicitly what happens if he does fail the test. Like if she's accepting the Kiddushin and saying, now it's my money, I can throw it into the ocean for any purpose I want. I can use it for any purpose I want, including to test him. But if he fails the test, she's Mekudeshes. He's stuck. So it's so unless you have to say. So I'm not sure. So maybe you have to say that she meant an implicit tonight that she's only Mekudeshes if he doesn't get angry. It's a funny one. But then of course she's going to end up owing him $5,000. So that's funny. Or the other option is she's married him either way. She just wants to see if he's angry, which is funny. Like, why don't you want to be stuck with him? So that's why, maybe that's why it's only a Havamina. Right? It's only a Havamina. Meaning, if I just saw the beginning of the Havamina, it's a good Havamina. No one wants to also win $5,000. The problem is the end of the Havamina. The end of the Havamina is not so strong because, A, is it really worth losing your money? And that, of course, depends if it's $5,000 or $5, right? If it's $5, but maybe as Aaron asked, it's not such a good Havamina because, like, even if she sees he's angry, like, why would she first accept Kiddushin and then check if he's angry? She should have first checked if he gets angry easily, if he has a temper, and then accept the Kiddushin.
It's not such a good Havamina because a lot of the Yishanim accept to some degree, like the Mordechai Negosashiri and Tosafot Yerzaken, to some extent. Meaning, we don't completely throw this out. This makes sense.
No, I don't think they accept it for this reason. But you can argue with me about that again in 10 minutes. Okay, Lamaisa, it's only Havamina. It's not. It's only a Havamina. Again, why is it only a Havamina? Why is it wrong? Either because it's still unlikely people want to lose their money just to test someone, or maybe as Aaron pointed out, because it's a stupid test, because she's already in Kodesh, it's too late to test him. So therefore, Kamash Malan, that she really intended to refuse it, there's just two ways people refuse Kiddushin. There are regular women who are insulted by an offer of Kiddushin that they don't think is fit for them and throw it down in the guy's face. And then there are melodramatic women who have extra money in the bank. And then there are melodramatic women who have extra money in the bank who take it and throw it into the ocean and are willing to have to pay the guy back, of course, for damaging his property, just to make a point. Now, here, the Me'iri asks an interesting question. The Gemara says in the Darim and Bava Basra that when you say something, you have the right to retract within how long? Talk to the Dibur Dummy, except for four scenarios. One Gemara says two, one says four. We assume that they both, it's like Avos and Toldos, they both mean four, except for, right, Megadif and Avodah Zarah and Gittin and Kiddushin. In Gittin, you can't retract Talk to the Dibur. So the Me'iri asks a difficult question here. He says, if you can't retract the Talk to the Dibur, then first she took it, and then she threw it. Once she took it, she's agreeing. When she throws it, she's retracting. So, how does she have the right to retract within Tov Kedei Dibur? After all, I give it to her, she takes it. I think she's Mekudeshes. She gives the appearance of being Mekudeshes. And then she throws it away. But it's too late. She has no right to change her mind. So that's the Meiri's question. What?
Tov Kedei Dibur's actions also?
I mean, can you retract from an action?
She's not saying anything.
Lechora, it's a good question. It's an interesting question. The assumption of the Rishonim and Achronim here seems to be, yes, that since her action is an implicit agreement, then she can't retract. So here we just have a technical question. How can she retract if, right, ein chazara toch kedei dibor b'kiddushin? So what does the Me'iri say? What does the Me'iri answer?
Let's see if she was angry.
That she's, it's not that she's retracting. It's that it's only if she took it in anger in the first place. If she took it in anger in the first place, then she's not retracting. She was always refusing. Meaning, as Joel asked, what do you mean? She never said she agreed. No, if you take it nicely, that is stating without words that you agree. But if you take it in anger
and throw it right away,
and throw it in an amount of time that people would normally throw things if they were angry, it doesn't have to be totally deeper, even according to the Me'iri. It says you don't have to throw it totally deeper, because you were angry from the beginning. You just have to stay angry. If you take it in anger and then calm down and keep it, then you've now decided to accept it. But as long as you take it in anger, and you stay angry and you throw it even longer than totally deeper, but in the normal way that an angry person would act. So, says the Me'iri.
How do we determine anger? An anger meter?
You can't tell by someone's face.
You can't tell
by
your body language.
No.
It could be surprise, it could be anger.
No, there are scientists who've studied these things, and it's not subjective at all. There are scientists who've cataloged like 200-something muscles in the face, and each one, they have a computer that like tells how it's moving, and they can, and they tell if you're angry or not. And the reason they did this is because we can all do this without a computer. They're just trying to teach a computer to do it. But I think we can usually tell. It might be very rare cases, but we can usually tell when someone's angry. It's certainly if we're looking at them, we can usually tell if they're angry or they aren't. And what if we mamish can't tell because it's a really weird case? Then it's a suffix. What can you, that happens in halacha. The fact that sometimes you can't tell is not a pircha. So says the Me'iri, there was never an agreement in the first place, because she took it in anger. So if she took it in anger, then it's not retraction. It's that she never agreed in the first place. The Shuk Chacham Tzvi, I think I put that in the course, right? Mm-hmm. The Shuk Chacham Tzvi says something interesting. He says that there's no retraction to kidei deeper in Kiddushin. He says, but there is clarification to kidei deeper. He doesn't say these words. What he's basically saying is that there are two different principles or two different levels, dinim, of tokhdei dibur. One is tokhdei dibur can clarify something. Two is that tokhdei dibur you can retract something. So, he says in this case, she's not, what does retracting mean? I agreed, but now I change my mind. You have the right to change your mind tokhdei dibur, but that's only in dinim mamonis, not in getting the kiddushin. But there's another rule of tokhdei dibur, that tokhdei dibur is considered to be the same unit of time, and therefore, whatever happens during tokhdei dibur is seen as related to the original thing and not as a later step. And therefore, you can have an igloi milso tokhdei dibur. Basically, when she throws it in the sea, is she saying, I agreed, but now I changed my mind? What's she really saying by throwing it in the sea? She's saying, when I took it, I only took it in order to throw it into the sea. Right? That's igloi milsa tokhdei dibur, not chazara tokhdei dibur. So says the Chacham Tzvi, even if she took it stam, he doesn't make the note from the Me'iri. Even if she took it stam, she took it without revealing anything. Where the Me'iri would say, that's it, she's in the Kodeshes. Even if she took it stam, tokhdei dibur, she revealed that she only took it in order to throw it in the sea, not as an agreement. And therefore he says, Ein chazara toch kidei dibor bekidushin, but yesh igloi milsa toch kidei dibor bekidushin. That's the chiluk of the Chacham Tzvi. You can't retract toch kidei dibor. Retract means you honestly meant yes and then change your mind to no. That you can't do toch kidei dibor. But in this case, she's not retracting. She's basically just revealing that she was an anger all along. We didn't see that because she had a good poker face, but she's revealing that she only took it in anger all along and never agreed. And the rule of toch kidei dibor of revealing of igloi milsa applies everywhere. The rule of igloi milsa of chazara doesn't. So for example, if someone worships avodah zara, toch kidei dibor says, I changed my mind, then it's too late. They're chayav misa. There's no chazara toch kidei dibor by avodah zara or megadiv. But if someone toch kidei dibor said something which reveals that they didn't really mean it, right, then that would get them out of their chayav misa. Because there's a difference between chazara and igloi milsa.
But dibor really works at any time. What he's saying is in kedushin, it's a special case that it has to be toch kidei dibor. Because a dibor should work at any time. It doesn't have to be toch kidei dibor.
No, dibor should not work at any time because if you do an igloi, okay, in a theoretical world, but let's say you do an igloi milsa much later, then we don't believe that. Then we suspect that you're changing your mind and trying to fool us. Right? Let's say a woman accepted kedushin, and then a day later said, ah, now that I went to the beach, I only accepted it to throw it at the ocean to show how much I denigrate you. So we would not accept that, because we would suspect her of lying. We would think that really she meant it, and now she's trying to fool us. Right? So that's why you need toch kidei dibor. You need toch kidei dibor to be good igloi milsa, because after toch kidei dibor, then once we have already accepted your statement, you don't have nemanus. You need to bring proof if you want to claim. You need to bring two edim if you want to claim that you didn't really mean it. You don't have that two edim that you told them beforehand, you know, some sort of modah that you didn't mean it. And this, we're not getting into toch kidei dibor now, but this is a big chakira in toch kidei dibor. The Rishonim discuss is toch kidei dibor kedibor dami, the retraction toch kidei dibor. Rabbi Natan says it's only takana d'rabbanan. So everyone asks, but many sugyos apply toch kidei dibor on the deraisa level. If you want to know an edim, when do three edim count together and when do they not count? Two of them count separately. Depends, they testify toch kidei dibor of each other, etc. So the answer is that there's two levels of toch kidei dibor. The toch kidei dibor of chazara, maybe that's only drabanan. And that doesn't apply to gittin and kedushin, that only applies to the imamanos, because of the kanas hashok and hefker bez and hefker. The toch kidei dibor, though, of defining, the toch kidei dibor of just defining what you're doing, that's a principle of midah araisa, the toch kidei dibor, kedibor dami. And therefore, you want to have to be going, toch kidei dibor, that works midah araisa even in kedushin. You want to define when edim join to one kat and when they don't join to one kat, or various other things. That works even midah araisa. So this faith dinim of the Chacham Tzvi could be very useful in the sugya of toch kidei dibor. You could have said, no, there's one din of toch kidei dibor. Chazara, igloi milsa, tseira, it's all one big din of toch kidei dibor for dibor tami. But, says the Chacham Tzvi, no, there's two dinim of toch kidei dibor. One is that you can, that toch kidei dibor puts two things together so that they define one another, so that they become one thing, and therefore it's a valid igloi milsa. The other is that you can change your mind. Changing your mind doesn't apply to kedushin, either because it's only drabanan, and they were only metakim dini mamonos, not a kedushin, or because changing your mind is only for things that you weren't so serious about in the first place, and therefore if you change your mind right away, we sort of say you must not have really meant it. But kedushin, which you're very serious about, and you really decide 100%, it's too late to change your mind. What?
The chomaker
she has to pay. Right, and that's not fair. She can't not be Kadesh and not pay. That's an avla. Joel. I think the Meiri would not agree. The Meiri is pretty clear that only if she took it because, if she took it calmly, then it's too late. Yes, he would call that a chazar. He would call that a chazar. Because he denies the power even of igloi milsa afterwards.
Well, when you're saying there's never an agreement, that sounds to me like it's not chazar.
What? No. The Me'iri and the Chacham Tzvi are both the same in that it's not really a Chazara. Just how to get to not a Chazara, right? What they both have in common is that they're both not a Chazara. Just how to get there in two different ways. The Me'iri says you have to get there from time zero. The Chacham Tzvi, no. To be in a Goy Mills, not a Chazara, you have to talk to the deeper. The Tosri Gazakin quotes from Nisim Gon. Right, but the question is, do we glowing mills on time zero, or do they have to be their mamish at time zero? The Tosri Yazakin quotes from Rabbeinu Nisim Gon, who says, Kazrin Nisim Adab Gekhush and Natalta Mikas with Zorka Migat. Only if you took Mikas and threw them out right away. But if you took him in front of Edom and then later threw them down, then you're Mekudeshes, she needs a get. So he says, only if she took the Mikas and threw them right away. Okay, here, it's not exactly clear what he means. Clearly, he is saying something along the lines of the Chacham Tzvi and the Me'iri, right? It's about that it was Mikas originally. Is he saying Mikas means you have to show your kas and throw it right away means, like Miri, you have to throw it in a way that would fit your kas? Or does he mean like the Chacham Tzvi? If you throw it right away, automatically, Gloy Milsa that you took in the kas is not clear, but he's clearly Tosos Riazakin. Bishem, Rav Nisim Gon, is clearly trying to say, like the Derech of the Meiri and the Chacham Tzvi, what do they have in common? What they have in common is that there's no Chazara going on here. It's that she never agreed, it's that she never took it in the first place. The only difference is, and we're not sure what the Rav Nisim Gon means, is it that you have to show from the first place, or you have to take the to retroactively show? As opposed to the Sefer HaMakneh here, takes a different approach. He says, it really is Chazara. That's a big Chiddush. There's no Chazara Tok Deidibur on Kiddushin. So he says, usually if she says, I changed my mind, I take it back, there's no Chazara Tok Deidibur on Kiddushin. But why is this case better?
Stuck it in her hand.
Because?
But I think you're stuck.
Okay, that's what he says at first. That's what he says at first. But what his maskana of the Makna is, he says, interestingly, he says, because normally you try to do Chazara B'dibur. Chazara B'dibur, you can't do Tok Deidibur. But here she's doing Chazara B'maisa, not just B'dibur. Chazara B'maisa is stronger and works even by Kiddushin.
So
he's...
Chacham Tzvi, no?
What?
No. The exact same thing as Chacham Tzvi. Okay, what I miss. Why, I see different than Chacham Tzvi. The Chacham Tzvi said the same thing. If you have Tok Deidibur B'maisa, it's a mamish Chazara, what you did.
It's he's saying it's a Chazara? Really?
We said that the Me'iri said it wasn't a Chazara, it was that you...
Am I right?
Yes, you are.
Okay, sorry. Ben says I'm right.
Yes. Okay.
He says he has a totally different scheme. Theoretically, there is Chazara Tokei Dibur B'Kiddushin, but Lo Asi Dibur Umevatel Maisa. He says, it's not that you can't...
He says Lachza. Avalim Zerakta Tokei Dibur Avshu Zerakta L'Achar Kedei Dibur Arminu Kevarnit Ratsa Avshu Nehadzik Hadarbe V'Ein Yichol Lachza. That's a juxtaposition. Meaning if he did it with him Tokei Dibur, then it would be Yichol Lachza.
No, that's not a valid deal. I'm not Makabal your deal.
Why?
I'm not Makabal your deal. He's saying, if you're trying to do Chazara, and you're Cholo Lachzer. But if you're not trying to do Chazara, then you can. Okay. That's the Chiddush of the Makta in his Maskana. He has a few different stages there. Maybe Chaim's quoting to me one of the earlier lines. The last line of the Makta, in the end, what he says most mustaber to him, is that, first he wants to make some Okimtas, only in this word case, that word case. Then he says, no, it's a Stam case. He says, really, you could be Chos Tok Deidibur and Kiddushin. It's just that, Lo Asi Dibur Vatal Maisa. But aval asi maisa umevatel maisa. Here, this is a big chiddush. If you ask, why is there a difference between gittin and kiddushin? Why is there a difference between gittin and kiddushin and dini mamonos? I mean, why does the Gemara say you can't be chozer tokei for gittin and kiddushin, but you can from dini mamonos? So one possibility is, the standard two possibilities are, because Gittin Kedushin is Doraisa. They didn't make a Takana. Avadin Amamnis, they made a Takana. Or, Gittin Kedushin people take very seriously. So when they decide with finality. And they can't change their mind. If they change, but Dine Mamnas people don't take so seriously. And when they decide, they were only mostly deciding. They were only deciding for now, but they still implicitly reserve the right to think about it. Okay, so that's the two standard understandings. Either number one, Gittin Kedushin is no Raisa, there's no Tokhtei Dibur. Or Gittin Kedushin, people are so serious that they make a final decision. And they don't leave themselves room to think about it. The Makta is saying a third Derech. He's saying, Dini Mamanos. He's saying, the Iker is the person's Dibur, the person's Das. After all, it's his property. He can do whatever he wants. And therefore, he can go back and talk and retract. But in Gittin Kedushin, the Iker is the Maisa. After all, this is a ritual, this is a chalos isser, it's not just his property to do whatever he wants. The Iker is the Maisa, has a certain ritual power. And therefore, Gittin Kedushin depends more on the Maisa. And that's why you can't retract, because Loasi Dibur cannot be Mivatal Maisa. But a Maisa can be Mivatal Maisa. So this is, again, this is a whole sug of Tokhtei Dibur that we're not getting into now.
Which Maisa would be Mivatal Maisa?
The Maisa of throwing it in the ocean is Mivatal Maisa of accepting it.
The Maisa of accepting it.
Right?
And by Mecca from Memkar?
The Maisa of Zrika is Mivatal the Maisa of Kabbalah. In Mecca from Memkar, the Iker is not the Maisa. The Iker is the Tas, is the Dibur. That's his tremendous chiddush, this Makta. Right? His chiddush is, why is the Gemara saying in the first place that Gittin Kedushin doesn't have Tokhtei Dibur? Yeah. If it's because it's Doraisa, that has nothing to do with Maisa versus Dibur. I mean, Pashtus. If it's, maybe you could say, if it's because of you're more serious, that shouldn't have to do with Maisa versus Dibur. But if it's because the Maisa is more important than Gittin Kedushin, because the Maisa has a certain ritual power, after all, remember, Dini Mamanos, maybe see Tumta and Kinin Suder, you can do things however you want. That's why there's no Chazar in Kedushin, because the Asi Dibur and Vatal Maisa, but Asi Maisa and Vatal Maisa. Okay, we will leave it at that. The Gemara then goes on to say, Tana Rabbanan, his Kachili Bemanet, name Abelavicha, Enim Kudeshes. If he says, here's $100 from Kudeshes, he says, give it to my father or your father, it's not a valid Kedushin. Because she means, I don't want your money, give it to someone else. It's just a polite way of saying, you know, I don't know. Well, I don't want to say it the impolite way. Okay. The Ein Mekudesh, Amanashi, Kablum Mekudeshes. But if she says, give it to my father or your father for them to accept for me, then she is Mekudeshes. I mean, this is pretty common sense, right? If I say Mekudeshes, she says, give it to someone else, then she's telling me, go jump in a lake. If she says, give it to someone else to hold for me, then she means Kedushin, I just don't have pockets now. So give it to someone else who has pockets to hold for me. Now the question, what do you mean Abba Navicha? Tana Abba Lodivu Kocha Dresha. Tana Avicha Lodivu Kocha Dresha. The Seifa. And we need Abba Navicha, that Abba, even her own father, if she just says Stam Tame Abba, she doesn't mean he should accept it for her. She means jump in a lake. That's a chiddush. And we need Avicha to say, even if it's his father, if she says to accept it for me, she really means it. She's not being sarcastic, even though it's his side, and she really means to be Kadeshus. Okay. What if she just says Ploni? Ain't even Kadeshus. Amanashi Kabbalah, Limu Kadeshus. Same idea. Utricha, why don't you Abba Vicha and Ploni? Yes, being Abba Vicha, Hasan Ludhiyam, Ramanashi Kabbalah, have a Kadushin. The Sum Kazdaiti Lavayu. Suffer of the Shikusai, about Ploni Lo. Okay, why do we need Ploni and relatives? Because if it had only said the relatives, we would have thought, the relatives, I say, she then it's real Kedushin, because she trusts them to be Kabbalah for her. But if he says a stranger, if she says, give it to Ploni, give it to Jack to accept for me, and she doesn't really mean it, because she doesn't really assume that Jack's going to want to accept the money and do her shlichus and help her out. So we need to tell you, no, even if it's a stranger, if she says to accept for me, she assumes he'll be a nice guy and accept it for her. And if it only told us Ploni, we thought Ploni, when I say Stam, give it to Ploni, I mean jump in the lake. Because why would I want to give a present to Ploni? When I say Abba Navicha, who are my relatives, or one is my relative, one has become my relative, Then, when I say give to Avraham Avich, I mean to give them a present. And I mean to Narev, that I really want you to give them a present. And I'll be Kadeshes. So Kamash will not. That's why we need all of both prices. Yes?
Does the money eventually have to come back to her when she uses the Shlichus bet? So I don't even know how this works.
You mean she happily?
Yeah, like, is she's saying, go give it to, is she saying, basically, you're my Shliach to appoint another Shliach?
Okay, good. So let's just briefly discuss that, right? That was in the brackets, I think, if I'm not mistaken. Kresge, you got the board?
Yeah.
Right, meaning, Amanashi Kavlom Li is L'chora, it's not Din Ariv. Shneim L'Avlavicha, you might have had a half meaning Din Ariv, I want you to give him a present. Kamash, well, no, I just mean jump in a lake and give it to someone else. She Kavlom Li is not Din Ariv. She Din Ariv means give it to that person, for that person to keep, but nonetheless, I'll be Mekudeshes. She Kavlom Li is just give it to them to hold on to for me. And the Gemara calls it Shlichusai, right? Shlichus. How does that shlichus, how does she kablomly work? So, how does she kablomly work? So here we have a machlokes between the pashtas of the sugya and the stimas of Rishonim versus the Tosas Rid, which is summarized in this Avni Miluim. So the sheyekablomly, how does that work? So, the stimas harishonim, meaning when they bring the rishonim stam and the avne miluim, say it works through shlichus. They are her shliach to accept it. And the Gemara calls it shlichusai. The Rid says, but she never appointed them, right? The Rid says, but she never appointed them, right? So that's the Rid's kasha. Says the Rid, he says, but there is no minoy, right? She never appointed them a shliach. And remember, they're not here, pashtas, right? They're someplace else. She says, go give it to my father to accept for me. And that works, because she really means it. But he's someplace else. She never made her father shliach. How can he be a shliach without her telling him, right? So, therefore, says the Rid, a big chiddush. So, says the Rid, it's not shlichus. If it's not shlichus, where's the kiddushin? If it's not shlichus, where's the kiddushin? He gave it to someone else, and it's not shlichus.
Right.
So, how's the kiddushin?
It's ki'ilu.
So, he says a big chiddush, and this is what's going to come out of, this is the famous chiddush of the Rid. So, therefore, the Rid says a chiddush. Now, just because of this line, I don't know if he would have said this chiddush. But putting together, we'll see, putting together other lines also, right? He says this later in the Gemara. Also, big chiddush that, which we're not going to analyze yet until we get to the next line in the Gemara, what the Rid's chiddush that he doesn't need to give kesef kiddushin to her. It's enough to put it where she says.
Ariv? But not exactly. What, I don't know what that is.
Okay, I can't prove to you there's an Avnei Miluim not on the Makor sheet at all who deals with the relationship between the sheet of the Rid and Din Ariv and sort of assumes this is not Din Ariv. So, he assumes, doesn't explain something. Ariv is when it's mamish, like belonging to someone else. Like, I want to enrich someone else. Here, clearly, I don't want to enrich someone else. I said shekablamli, right? This is a special din. The nature of the special din we'll come back to. Okay? We'll come back to, I don't mean we'll come back to in a year. I mean we'll come back to in 5 minutes.
Okay.
More or less. The 5 minutes, as long as I don't stop talking for more than Tokhti Hebrew. That is, and we'll come back to this dish. Right, Ben.
The Sheet of the Rulami says something very similar. He says that it's a
yes.
Puzzle. It's unclear if it's the same idea or like a closely
related. Right, so yeah, but he doesn't, he's not saying it in the context of the Rid to figure out, like, but you know, no, you're right. The Sheet of the Rulami is very similar to the Rid, and we'll point that out. Okay, good. We'll point that out. However, the Avnei Ulum assumes that is not true. So, he assumes that it's really shlichus. The problem is, where's the mino shlichus here? Where's the shlichus?
Is it where she says, meaning any place, or does it have to be someone like...
It actually can even be a place in the end.
It's even on the rock.
That's exactly why the Rid says it, because the next Gemara of the rock, right? That's his main raya. I mean, these are his two main rayas, the Abba and the rock. Okay, where's the Minoy Shlichus? How does the Shlichus work? So the Abba and the Milum is two fundamentally different ideas about how the Minoy Shlichus works. One is, but, how can there be Shlichus? But, There's no minoy. Where's the minoy shlichus? So, the first possibility, he says, and if you say, well, maybe she told the chassan to tell the father to be the shliach kabbalah. So we know there's a rule called mili lo memser in the shliach, which we generally assume to mean that you can't appoint someone just with words to appoint someone else a shliach. Right? What?
That's all my Hebrew.
That's Omer Imru. So what about Omer Imru? Okay. So, okay, good. So what about Omer Imru? So you have to say one of three possibilities. That's the Emlin fleshes out. It's really a tremendous sugya. It's like many blottom sechas gittin and very chummer. By the way, you should just know that one of the more chummer issues of Hilchas gittin, besides all the questions of Agona, etc., or of a recalcitrant husbands, etc. Second to recalcitrant husband, the biggest challenge in Hilchas Gittin is geographical distance. Right? How does the husband give his wife a get if he lives far away from a bezdin? After all, Milu Lomemshim L'Shliach, the original case of Milu Lomemshim L'Shliach is that I can give someone a thing and he can pass that on Shlichas, but I can't just tell someone something to pass on a Shlichas. So the husband can't just tell someone, write a get, and pass it on to shlichus. So if the husband was far from Besdin, how does he write a get for his wife? He can't be memane, the Besdin, the sofer, to write a get for him. Okay, that's that was a big issue in for hundreds of years, really, especially in the modern era. Okay, modern technology might help a little. That's a whole sugya. What?
Haven't airplanes kind of solved that one last
time? Okay, the problem is, what if the husband doesn't think it's worth taking an airplane? Okay, maybe the sofer can take an airplane. Okay, what if no one wants to pay for that? Okay, lemaisa nowadays, you're right, with cheap air travel, that has solved the problem a lot. In the old days, the question was, what if you could do a video conference, and they first invented video conference? What if you could talk on the telephone? Or, you know, is there a way to appoint someone a shliach without being there? So there are two ways to do it. One approach is that there is an implicit... Minoy shlichus. There's an implicit minoy shlichus. Ah, how is there an implicit minoy shlichus? So you have to say that either via the chassan, and then you say, but you can't do a minoy shlichus of Omer Imru. So okay, it's a machlokes rishonim. Maybe the rishonim hold you can. That's a little tricky because all the rishonim but the rit. Some of them hold you can. So maybe Omer Imru Liploni works, or...
I don't understand. I'm sorry, that question. I mean that answer. Meaning, she...
Maybe she implicitly is telling the chassan to appoint to be her shliach, to appoint Abba to be her shliach.
So you can appoint a shliach to appoint a shliach.
Well, we paskin you can't. But some rishonim hold you can, but that's
and
not a good answer.
And even a step after that, meaning, and even if it's implicit.
Right, right, so that's a chiddush. Or, minoy shalobafana. Maybe she, that's what the Avner Gloom says. Maybe she herself is appointing Abba Shliach. Who says you have to see someone to appoint them a Shliach? Maybe you can appoint a Shliach Shlobafanov. Right? That was one of the big questions in Gittin before cheap air travel, right? Or before air travel. Maybe a guy could appoint a guy in Minsk could appoint the Bezdin in Baltimore a Shliach Shlobafanov to write a get for his wife. Okay, now in Hilchas Gittin, we're very machber about these things. But according to many Rishonim, it would work out. There's an implicit minu shlichus, either that you're telling the chassan to be mana abba shliach, or you're mana abba shliach yourself, but minu shalom b'fanav.
Is there a difference between dibur and writing? Writing a letter can be different.
Ah, so it could be that writing a letter might be a valid minu shlichus if you write a letter to the bezdin. These are all big issues. You can understand this is very chomer things. very difficult situations, which you had to find a solution for back in the day. That's one derech. There's an implicit minor shlichus. The other derech is what the Avnei Lum says in the end. He says both of these. He says that no, there's no minor shlichus at all. Okay. Here's a little trivia question. Anyone ever heard of how you can have a shlichus without a minoy? Can I ever do something in your behalf without you telling me to?
Sure.
What's that rule called? Zachin la'adam shlo b'fanav. Or zachin la'adam shlo b'fanav obviously doesn't need minoy. That's the whole point of zachin la'adam shlo b'fanav. And Abba's being zoche for her. Now, is that so poshut? Is kedushin a zachus? If I'm a single girl, is marrying me a zechus? Maybe, but okay. But we all know I can't stam accept kiddushin for a girl, right? So what did he just add? He says, hold on a second. What is he being the shliach for? And he just says very subtly. He says you can split the kiddushin and the kinyan hakesef. He's not a shliach for kedushin. She is agreeing for the kedushin. Meaning, you can split basically the das kedushin and the kesef. The das kedushin she has on her own. Just she wasn't kona the kesef. Being kona kesef is zchus. It's just acquiring money. So that's the chiddush of the Avnei Lum. He says you can split. You can split the das kedushin she does on her own. The Kinyan HaKesef, that's a Zechus. She's not making Abba a Shliach for Kiddushin. That's the Chab. It's not that Abba's her Shliach for Kiddushin. Abba's only her Shliach to acquire money. And acquiring money is a Zechus. Who turns that acquiring money into Kiddushin? She does.
But it's not his money.
What? But you can acquire money for someone else through Zachon Lanim Shlo B'Fanav. The Chasa wants to give money to the Isha. He gives it to the Abba who acquires it for the Isha. And then holds on to it for her as a shomer.
Why can't you say in this case the kedushin is a source because she's agreeing to it? She wants the kedushin, but something
else. Uh-huh. I think that's what Rashi does say.
Meaning, just say that once she's expressed her a desire to be mekudeshes, that kedushin is a zechus and zachin la'adam shlo b'fanav. Which is not.
Then they don't have to split.
Right. I'm going to give the Ikri, Elisha.
This is the one that the Rishonim were holding that it's shlichus, not on the rig.
Of course not on the rig.
Right.
Okay.
So once you have to do shlichus, uh-huh. you have to maneuver
okay.
The
so then that
you
gets...
You don't do this lundus on the rig.
Right, of course not. Of course not. That's a good point. That gets into somewhat the question of zach lanim shlo b'fanav. Is zach lanim shlo b'fanav means anything I'm happy about, or is it actually only acquisitions? If it's only acquisitions, then a girl getting married, is she not acquiring, she's giving herself over, it wouldn't work. This is a famous discussion of Shurash, when Shurash Hadesh, and come down to the Shulchan Aruch, right? Can I do Zach Adam Shulchanav to take challah from your dough, when necessary? Because I'm sure you'd be happy, or not, because you're not acquiring, you're giving up. So, maybe, if you hold that Zach applies to anything that would make you happy, then perhaps you could say Zach on the whole thing. Okay, tavla, it would make you happy. It's still not an acquisition. And still, like we learned a little about tavla meitav doesn't really mean that everyone wants to marry everyone.
Right. In this case, she said she wants
right.
to marry
everyone. Right, okay.
Can you recognize this point? Why do I need to do split again? Like, what's the pushing idea?
Okay. Let me explain what I'm saying. What I'm saying here is, and then I will take your suggestion seriously. What I'm saying is that, what am I saying here? In 2.1. I'm saying that Abba is not a shliach likidushin. Just a shliach lizkos b'mamon. That's what the Avnei Lum is saying. Abba's not her shliach to do kidushin. She's doing kidushin on her own. She's just missing the zechi on the mamon. So Abba's her shliach to be zocha on the mamon, and that's a pure zechus. The being zoch on the mamon is pure zechus. Whether it's chi on the mamon turns into kedushin, that she's doing on her own. That's what I'm calling splitting. But as Chesky, what did you want to point out before I put 2.2?
Just because you say once that you want to marry the guy, does not mean that you now be able to do zoch on the mamon. Zaman Shalapanim might only be a swing, so objectively as a chus. And just because she said for her personally that there's a chus at that moment, you don't know that she's not there, that she actually still wants it. And just because she once revealed it doesn't make it that it's now able to work through the challenge.
Correct, meaning we see those chumers that he's getting, etc. The question is, are those Me'ikra Din or not? Maybe Kiddushin.
I'm suggesting that that's not necessarily covering everything just because she wants
correct.
It.
Correct.
She wants.
If
right.
we assume. yes, Joel.
I think you have a great raya because the Sfeach the Kabbalah for Gittin requires Eidin because it's part of the Ma'ase Gerushin. But the Sfeach the Kabbalah for Kiddushin doesn't require Eidin, which means that it's not part of the Ma'ase Kiddushin. It's just getting money.
Aha, okay.
Okay,
fair enough. Although, yesh ladon on that, yesh ladon on your assumption, but we're not going to right now. Okay, so again, you're getting to Zachal and Shalafana more than I want to get into now. If you assume anytime I express my desire for something, that, or you think I desire something, then we apply Zachal and Shalafana, you can just say Zach in here. But that's not so posh. As Chesky said, there might be an objective schus, and just because I once that I want something doesn't mean I always want it if it's not an objective schus. And B, there's a sheet that many of you have shown him, that Zachal and Shalafanav only applies to acquiring, not to anything that makes me happy. And therefore, since she's not acquiring the Kedushin, but giving herself up in Kedushin, it's not so posh. And that's probably why the Avnei Miluim said the other way.
Would you say the same thing about Mekah Benkar, that somebody could say, I'd like to sell this thing to you, and the person gives the money to somebody else, and they could be sold for the money?
Yes, absolutely. I would absolutely. Yes. And again, we're not doing din already. If you're not giving to the other person for him to keep, right? We're talking to him to keep. I would absolutely say it. Okay, now we're ready for the next line in the Gemara. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanis, Kachli Manet Thema Gabi Sela.
So one second, what I thought, what was very interesting to me is when they were talking about Arev and then rejecting Arev, so one of the comments I saw was very interesting, is that it couldn't be that this Raisa knew of Arev because Rava was Mechadish. Before Rava, nobody knew the din of Arev. So you can't even learn. You have to go all this other strategy because you can't.
All right, that's possible, but that's not. I don't know who said that. That's not what I would just thought. This Bryce says not to din ariv because sheik hablam li is not din ariv. Din ariv means the other person keeps it. The sheik hablam means acting on my behalf. That's different than din ariv. And so in the hablam li, that's not ariv because I'm telling you to kabel for me. And in tneim la ablo vichla ploni. Ariv might be a havamina, but since I didn't say va'akadish ani lach, therefore we assume I don't mean I really want Abba Vichon Ploni to have a presence so much that I want to use din ariv. I mean, you know, get a life.
And Simon said, it's not like Rava made a drusha that it applies to... Like,
right, yeah, I don't know who said... Yeah, okay, we're not getting into that now. Tana Rabbanan. Hiskashli monotemo gavi selim kadeshes. If I say to a girl, hiskashli monotemo, put it on a rock, then that's her way of saying, take a walk, and not mikudeshes. But in Hayasel Shalom in Kudesh, if she said put it on my rock, or put it on the rock, and it's her rock, then she means that she wants the money. She just doesn't want it in her hands because she's busy using her hands now. Therefore, just put it on her rock. But clearly, when someone says to put it in my real estate, they're intending to go along with the transaction. That's fair enough. And Rashi points out that a rock is konef in Kenyan Chatzar, so it's no problem.
Is this a movable rock? Is this a movable Kenyan Chatzar? Like, is this like another way for saying it's
no, Sela is not a movable rock. Yeah, it's the same
as... It's a boulder.
Yeah, Sela generally means... I mean, the rock Sela, not the coin Sela, generally means not movable. Okay. Generally, I mean, you know. The by Rav Bibi, Sela shall shnei hamahu teku. What if it was both of theirs rock? Okay. Teku, he's not sure. Meaning, what's he not sure about? The standard understanding is he's not sure what she means. Right? If it's the rock belongs to both of them, does she mean I want to do Kiddushin? That's why I'm telling you to put on the rock because I have shaykhus to this rock. Or does she mean no, it's not my rock any more than it's your rock. And therefore, I'm just telling you put it on a rock and I'm trying to tell you to get lost. Okay, Teku, we're not sure. What she means. Now, here, the Rishonim all deal with a fundamental problem, which is Tosfos Kasha from Baba Basra. Rashi starts out talking about Kinyan Chatzar. Rashi says, well, if it's her Sela, it works because of a Kinyan Chatzar. So Tosfos says, hold on a second. If it's both their sela, it might work. That's clear. It might work. And l'chora the suffix is whether she intends kiddushin or not. But if she intends kiddushin, it would work. So how could it work? How could even suffix work? She's suffix mekudeshes, right? She needs a get. How could it work? After all, what does it say in Baba Basra? If we jointly own a chatzer, and I want to be machna something to you, and I put it in the chatzer, does that work?
No.
No, it says mefurish in Baba Basra that if we jointly own a chatzer, we could be kona things from third parties, but we can't be machna to each other through this chatzer, since it belongs to both of us, it's not a valid kinyan chatzer. So it's a sela shel shneim, it's not a valid kinyan chatzer. That's Tosfos Kasha. Tosfos Kasha is that there's no kinyan on the kesef in the case of sela shel shneihem. That's Tosfos Kasha. Okay. Now we can answer this kasha in a few different ways. One way is to try to rescue the kinyan. Rescue the regular rules of kinyanim. How can we? So one approach is, basically the question is, how does sela shel shneihem work? How does sela shel shneihem work? So one approach is regular rules of kinyan. If they're regular rules of kinyan, then we just broke the rules. So how does it work? So you have to add something. What could you add to rescue the regular rules of kinyanim?
He gave her part.
Who says that? He adds a assumption about people's das, right? The Ramban and the Rashba. Right? Say the Ramban and the Rashba. So, you could either add an assumption about not just peoples, but groups, right? That's what you call a guy who proposes kedushin? L'chora? Groom's das. You can make an assumption about the groom's das, and that is the Ramban and the Rashba. Says the Ramban and the Rashba that why does this work? Because by saying, now interestingly, by dine mumnus, you would have to not make this assumption because the Gemara Baba Basra says it doesn't work, right? By dine mumnus is business. You know, I'm standing on my rights and I'm not doing something to you. I'm not necessarily so sure I want it to go through. We'll see how it works. Maybe it'll work, maybe it won't. But in Kiddushin, the guy's mamish in love. And probably would apply also in Girushin because the guy's mamish in hate. So in Kiddushin, the guy's mamish in love. He really wants to be Mekadosh her. So when he puts it on the Sela shel shneihem, what's he doing implicitly? He is lending her his share of the rock so that it'll be her chatzer and she'll be able to be kona the kiddushin. Alright, so
understand this so yet you
mashil la makom besela. He's lending her his bailus on this rock.
Does he need to like be holding in this sugya to do that, or does it happen in like Mimela?
Lachor, it happens in Mimela. It's a little tricky. How do you know what happens in Mimela and what doesn't happen in Mimela, right? He's this is always a good question. Like, just to be fair, where does he get this idea from? This idea comes up a few places in Gittin when they talk about like the husband giving his wife a get and said maybe he like lends her a place in his chatzer, etc. Although not in exactly this context. So does that mean he's a Talmud Chacham? Or does that mean somehow he really wants it to work? So he must be thinking that it will work however it works. Look over the ladder. But it's an okenta, it's a chiddush, right? It's a big chiddush. But or maybe somewhere in between. You know, he's putting the get on the sela. He intends that she should be, sorry, he's putting the kiddushin in the sela. He intends she should acquire the kiddushin, which means he's treating it as her sela for the purpose of acquiring this kiddushin. So therefore, he really is lending her his rights in the sela. He might not know how to express it in halachic language, but intuitively he might understand that at some level.
Didn't we say that in the name of the grub by making the chasna and the chaser of the Beit Knesset?
Yes, yes, yes. Now, this is a double chiddush, right? What's a double chiddush? One, the assumption, right? And two, what's the other chiddush here? It's almost as if you've out of the fire, out of the frying pan into the fire. Ah, we found how to get to a Maisa Kinyan on the Kiddushin. He lent her his share in the Sela. We're just missing the Maisa Kinyan on the Sela. After all, I can't lend you my property without a Maisa Kinyan. I can't lend you real estate without a Maisa Kinyan. You need a Maisa Kinyan for real estate. Right? Is that... Where is the Maisa Kinyan on the Sela? Right? I can't just lend you my property. And this is a big debate. This is a big debate among the Achronim, which we're not going to go into, which is, where's the Maisa Kinyan on the Sela? Mavadol, the Gemara says, Geshem Shekarka Niknes Bekesef Shar V'Chazaka, Kach Schir Skarka Niknes Bekesef Shar V'Chazaka. Where's the Kesef Shar V'Chazaka? So this is...
It's already hers.
What?
Maybe she has a Chazaka because it's already hers.
Ah, so maybe Shutfus is different. So one approach that maybe Shutfus is different, meaning this is the old Hakira, right? Shutfus, we each own a quantitative half or we each own a qualitative half, right? If we each own a quantitative half, just like it's a checkerboard of tiny little pieces, then that's not necessarily going to help. But if we each own a qualitative half, then it may be that perhaps all I need to do is relax my bailus, and then you may look and use your bailus. Perhaps siluk would work. Or perhaps there's some sort of implicit brera that we assume that when people buy things, they mean that each one will use whatever is really necessary based on what they decide at the time. The Rav takes a very different approach, which is really not for now. He suggests that it could be there's different standards of chazaka for borrowing karka or renting, same thing, or buying karka. To buy karka, you need to actually work the land. To borrow or rent karka, it's enough to just use it, and that's a chazaka. And therefore, since she's using it to hold her kiddushin, that's the kinyan to make it hers, which makes it her kiddushin. Okay, that's the Rav's chiddush when he taught this sugya. But somehow you get it to work out. But you understand, you still need to answer it up. The Bali Tosfos, by the way, interesting, Tosfos on the daf, how does he explain how the kinyan really works after he has this kasha? He doesn't, interestingly. But the other Bali Tosfos do, and the other approach is just make it okimta in the case. How can you make it okimta in the case? What do the other Bali Tosfos say?
They own half. That's the Tosfos Tuch.
Tosfos Tuch, and by the way, the Sefer Machne says the same thing for Rashi. The Machne for Rashi. For the Rambam, he says something different. This is what he says for Rashi. And the Tosfos Tuch say, Sel Shel Shneim doesn't mean they owned the Bishutvos. It meant they each owned a particular half, and he put it on her half. Like, it wasn't Stam, like, oh, we own this field together. No. He owned the north half of the rock. She owned the south half of the rock. And he put it on the south half. So that's what the Tosfos Tuch and the Sefer HaMachne say. Says that she owned a specific half of the rock. What's the suffix of Sela Shel Shneim? The suffix is she didn't say where to put it on the rock. So did she mean put it on my half, which is a regular Kinyan Chatzer? Or did she mean put it on your half, which is a way of saying jump in the lake? That's the suffix. But if she meant put it on my half, then the Kinyan Chatzer is perfectly fine. How about the Rush? The Tosfos Rush says the same thing. What does the Rush say to get it to work for a regular Kinyan?
The Rush has to pick it up, but I was just going to say on the previous thing, it's possible. You don't have to exactly split it that way. You could say that even if she meant to put it on my half, she said to put it on a rock, which she jointly owned.
Okay, good. Fair enough. Fair enough. Okay, what does the Rush say?
She picked up that.
That he gave it to her. I don't know if he said she picked it up or he gave it to her. I thought he said she gave it to her. He says she didn't put it. He didn't put it on the rock. The Rush says he gave it to her.
It's not a philo if he gave it to her.
Yeah, because that's where. Because in that line he's talking about Sela Shelo. Sela Shelo, a philo he gave it to her. Sela Shel Shneim adopted. Right? He's saying that. What's the case? The case where he gave it to her. If he gave it to her, then she's a valid Kenyan. After all, he gave it to her. The question is, what did she mean by put it on the rock? If by put it on the rock, she meant, I want to be Mekudeshes, then if he gave it to her, it works. If, and what does mean give it to her is a little tricky.
I mean, let's say he meant to give it to her, then but Sela Shel Shneim still not work?
Like, no, it's like this. First of all, what is give it to her? It's a little tricky. If he gave it to her and she reached out her hand and took it. So that's why he says, Natan Lesochika. He threw it into her... arms. He threw it into her arms, right? He gave it, let's say a little better. he put it in her arms, in her pocket, in her, you know, in the folds of her skirt, whatever it may be, right? He didn't actually put it on the rock. Then, now, of course, this is a big okimta, because, like, he's saying the stomach is what she meant by put on the sela. If she meant, I want kiddushin, then if you put on the sela, it won't work, but at least if he throws it in her arms, it will. If she meant, I didn't want kiddushin, then even if she throws it in her arms, it won't work.
Wait, so why not if I put it on her sela, it will work? I mean, why would we say that?
Because the sela's name is not Kona.
Oh, no, but she, okay, I thought we were talking about when we were saying her sela, fine. So, sela shnehem, excuse me, so that would for sure not work, but because you don't have the kinyan chatzar aspect, but if you give, that's a really weird way to read the Gemara, yeah, okay.
What do you want me to tell you? But you understand the pressure.
Yeah, I do.
Okay, how about the Ritva? What does the Ritva do?
He explains what Tosfos is talking about.
The Ritva has a way that the seller really works without the regular rules of kinyan chatzar. How does he get the seller to work?
She wants it to, like, be destroyed.
What rule is he using? What din?
Arif.
Din Arif. The Ritva says din Arif. He's the only Rishon who explicitly says the Sela is me din Arif. Kelev might be the din Arif, but the Sela, he's the only Rishon who explicitly applies din Arif to the Sela. There's some Rishon who might mean that, might not, but the only Rishon who explicitly says din Arif by a Sela, right? He says din Arif. Din Arif. What's din arev? Din arev is if you give the money to someone else, right? Classic din arev. You give the money to Chaim Yagel, and that counts if you gave it to me. That's good enough. So the Ritva says, likewise, it's not a real kinyan chatzar in the Sela. Sela's not working with din kinyan chatzar. In suffix, if she meant it. It's not me din kinyan chatzar, it's me din arev. You're putting it on the Sela, and that counts as if you gave it to me. Right? Now, why is it such a big hana'ah for you to put in the sela? Because when I tell you to put the money in the sela, what happens when you put the money on a rock? What's going to happen to the money if you put it on a rock?
It's going to get lost.
Right? It's going to get lost, right? Immediately. It's going to get lost. So basically, you're spending money on my behalf. You're spending money based on my say-so. That's called din arev. Right, when you spend money based on I say so, that's called din arev. So the Ritva says din arev because you are, he is spending, meaning he's losing money on her behalf. Now, let's just ask a very simple question. Why did the other Rishonim not think this counts as din arev? Why do the other Rishonim think this doesn't count as din arev?
Like Tosfos told, that has to be the Kabbalah of the person. It's like I received it, not the Masul of Hanukkah.
Okay, the Rush says here, you can't talk about din arev in our sugya, because din arev is only when you give it to another person.
Right.
The Rashba says you can't talk about din arev here, because din arev is only when you give it to another person, to a bendas. Right. And he quotes in the Yerushalmi that it's only when you give it to bendas who can accept it as my shliach. Then he says Yerushalmi doesn't literally mean regular shlichus; it means a special din arev, which is like shlichus, right?
Even the Rambam said the other guy needs hanok.
Right. Good. Okay. So why did Tosfos, Rush, Ramban, and Rashba not say it works midin arev? So the Rashba. And the Rush say, because din arev applies only when you give it to a person. The Rush says din arev is only given to a person. That's din arev. I give it to Reuven and Shimon's chayev, or I give it to Reuven and Rachel's mekudeshes. That's din arev. I give it to Reuven, it counts like giving it to Shimon. But I have to give it to someone. The Ramban says...
I thought the Rosh was a suffix if din arev would apply to Kelev.
No, I thought it wasn't a suffix. It was a quotation, but he thinks not. Even in the end, he says, Lemaisa, we might have been machmer, but his opinion is not. Okay. Look at the Lashon HaRosh. It says, Yesh Omrim, that Dinari would apply. But.
Okay.
V'dayti nota lo domi dinar klal. V'rei lahachmer. But his das, okay, says the Ramban, he says, then Arev applies only when you spend your money, when you're ma'abe mamona, when you lose your money. Only when you spend, meaning you lose money. Me'abed mamono alpiha, and putting it on a rock is not ibud, right? So the Ramban and the Rashba both disagree with the Ritva,
yeah.
But for two totally different reasons. The Rashba and the Rosh say this Ritva is not shayach bichlal. What do you mean did Arif when I just put it someplace? Din Arif is only between one person and another person. I give it to Reuven, counts for Shimon, that's Din Arif. But only when I give it to person. So the Ritva is like way, you know, out of, you know, not possible at all. The Ramban says, no, Taka, the Ritva is right. If I spend, I lose my money based on your say-so, on your behalf, I lose money, that counts as Din Arif. However, putting on a rock, the Ritva thinks putting on a rock counts as losing money. Putting on a rock doesn't count as losing money. After all, when I put it on the rock, what's going to happen to this money? When I put it on the rock, what's going to happen to this money?
You can take it back.
I can take it back. I'm watching it. What if someone comes? I'll say, don't touch that money. You know, what are you doing here? And they'll see me looking at the money. They won't want to take it. So the Ramban says, that's not losing money. So it could be that the... Again, why does the Ritva think the rock counts as losing money? He calls it Ibud Mamon, Ma'abid Mamon, and the Ramban thinks it doesn't. You know, unless they're just talking about different kinds of rocks.
But that's the whole chop of the Ritva, that when it's her rock, she will make sure that it stays there until it's lost. That's.
Yeah, or I think better, you could say the Ramban says, this is not called Ma'abid Mamon, because when he puts it on the rock, it's still well guarded. It's only if he goes home, it will be Aved. Right, so maybe the Ritva, the Ramban thinks that's not called Ibn Mamon. It's not Aved now. It's only Aved if I go home. And the Ritva thinks that's not called Ibn Mamon because I put it someplace and I'm going to go home. So it could be they just argue about the standard of Ibn Mamon. What if right now it's not Aved yet, but it will be Aved if it stays there long enough. So the Ramban thinks that's not called Ibn Mamon. The Ritva thinks it is. Okay, what is the obvious nafgamina between the Ramban and the Rashba versus the Ramban, is the nafkamina would be, what about Din Arev by Yam and Kelev? What if I tell you throw it into the Yam or feed it to a dog? Would that work with Din Arev, right? Now, again, not the case in the Gemara. The case in the Gemara was give it to a dog, but I don't make explicit that I mean it be Din Arev. What do I say? Feed it to a stray dog, and I'll be mekudeshes to you. Or throw it in the yam, I'll be mekudeshes to you. Again, the Gemara deals with the case of, I throw it in the yam. Or even if I say to you, throw it in the sea. Obviously, I don't mean kedusha. What if I say, I honestly want you to throw it in the sea, and then I'll be mekudeshes. I honestly want you to feed it to a dog, and I'll be mekudeshes. Would that work or not? According to the Rashba and the Rosh, no. Which is what the Rosh is really talking about, right? And according to the Rashba and the Rosh say no. The Ramban and the Ritva and the Shilo Lomi also agrees, even though that's not due to the Rishon and Sela, say yes. Right? the Ramban and the Rosh, the Rashba and the Rosh say no. Din Arev only applies if you give it to a person, not if you just lose money. The Ramban and the Ritva say Din Arev applies even if you lose money. If I throw it in the sea, that's Din Arev. If I feed it to a dog, that's Din Arev. If she expressed that she really meant Kiddushin. The only difference between the Ramban and the Ritva is putting it on a rock. Is that called losing money? Din Arev, Ritva. Or is that not called losing money? That's not losing money. That's just storing money somewhere. And that's the Ramban. Okay, and this, we mentioned this earlier. I checked my Makor sheet. We mentioned this when we learned Din Arev. Because we had a Chakira, how does Din Arev work, right? Does Din, what were our two main sides of the Chakira? Does Din Arev work because you're getting Hana'a when I do what you say with the money? Or does Din Arev work because the person received it and it's as if you received it because they were like your Shliach to receive it? So the Rashba is very explicit. If it's working me Din Shlichus, then that makes sense for the Rashba and the Rash. That I need to give to a person who receiving it can receive it on your behalf. If it's working through Hana'a, then I could say, like the Rambam and the Ritva, as long as I'm willing to spend money for something you tell me to do, that's a big Hana'a, because I'm spending money to accomplish what you told me to accomplish, even if it doesn't seem important. That's a big Hana'a. Okay.
So the Ritva is after the Rambam. Right, like a generation or two. Mm-hmm. So what's he knows the Ramban and he's rejecting.
Yes, them. He's allowed to. He's allowed to think for himself.
No problem with it.
So he knows the Ramban and the Rashba and rejecting them both.
Uh huh.
Yes. Yes.
And something that they didn't accept, he's actually taking back and saying.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. When I was in YU, Rav Herschel Schechter said, "Being a Talmud of the Rav doesn't mean that you just agree with everything the Rav ever said." You're allowed to disagree if you know what you're talking about. Yes, and the Ritva was certainly Bar Hachi. Okay, that's the Ritva. Now we come to the interesting Shita of... we have a few minutes at least. now we come to a third Shita. Right? After all, you remember the Rid we pointed out. The Rid said, how does Abba Vavicha Shiakablamli work? He didn't think it works through Shlichas. He would have to deny all of these things. Right? He didn't think it's an implicit meaning of Shlichas, or if it was, it wouldn't work. He didn't think you could like split it and do Zachin on the money. He didn't think you do Zachin on Kiddushin. No. He thought that it was not Shlichas at all. How does it work? It just works because you're putting it someplace I told you. When you put it someplace, I tell you, that counts for Kiddushin. So now, when he gets to the Sela, he can easily say the same thing. Why does Sela Shel Shnehem work? Misafik. Not because of Kinyan Chatzar. And he doesn't explicitly say Din Arif. Now, there is a whole Dion in some of the Achronim, whether the Ritva saying Din Arif just has a new idea of Din Arif or not. But the Rit doesn't say Din Arif. The Rid says, you know what, in Kiddushin, as long as you put it someplace that I tell you to put it, that's good enough. That's his big chiddush.
Yeah.
Tremendous chiddush of the Tosus Rid. And he even goes so far as to say that in Gittin as well, if a guy wants to divorce his wife and he says, here's your get, and she says, put it, not if she says, put it in my property, of course that works, that's Kinyan Chatzin, that's Mefurish Gemara in Gittin. Right, he says, "Nasa biyada chatzera gagiv garpiva minayin tamalom or nasim kalakom." She says, "Put it on the sidewalk." That works. She says, "Put it on a cow." That works. She says, "Give it to that fireman." That works. That's the big chiddush of the Tosfos Rid, that bein b'kiddushin bein b'gittin, right? And his grant bein b'kiddushin bein b'gittin. As long as you put it where she wants, that works. Now, his grandson, you know, the Rid's grandson was the Riyaz. What does the Rid stand for? Rebbe Yishaya Mitrani. Rebbe Yishaya Mitrani. I think the Mabit was a Yosef Mitrani. Rebbe Yishaya Mitrani, his grandson, was also called Rebbe Yishaya. So the Riyaz is Rebbe Yishaya Achron Zal. The later Rebbe Yishaya Zal. How do we know there's a sefer they actually printed? I actually have the volume Kiddushin at home. I forget which machon printed it. Something not so big, not such a big machon printed the Piskei Rid. Besides Tosfos Rid, there's Piskei Rid and Piskei Riyaz on Shas. The Piskei Riyaz on Shas. How do we have access to half of them before they printed them? In the Shilchi Gbor, right? Lashon Riyaz, half the time he quotes the Piskei Riyaz. I don't think he quoted this one. But The Piskei Rias, the Ritz grandson, says, and he always quotes Mazah, or Mizah. I mean, it's not really meant to be vocalized. Mem Zayin Hei. Mem Zayin Hei is Mori, is Mori Zakeni. Mori Zakeni Arav. Zakeni is my grandfather, right? He calls the Tosus Rit, right? The Zayin, Mem Zayin Hei is the Tosus Rit. So, he says, my grandfather wrote in his Psakim that this works by Kiddushin, and this works by Get, and he says, that's ridiculous. He says, by Kiddushin, I could see the Svara, like the Ritva, because by Kiddushin, you can be Kaddish with Hanah, and if you put it in the right place, maybe that's Hanah. Maybe it is Hanah, maybe it isn't Hanah, right? But basically, the Riaz is leaning to the Ritva. He doesn't say the word Arif, but he says, I understand it could work through Hanah, but I don't understand what my grandfather means. That it works by Kiddushin and Gittin. Like, you can't be you can't be Megarish a wife by giving her Hanah. You have to give her a star. Right? So, the Riaz, let me put the Riaz with the Ritva. Says the Riaz, it works because he gives her Hanah. Okay. I'm assuming that he's saying the same thing as the Ritva. After all, the Ritva and Daf Zayin says, Arif works as you're giving Hanah. Right? That makes sense. Okay. The Ritva and the Riaz say it works because giving Hanah. And therefore, you can't talk about this when it comes to Shtar, only when it comes to Kesef, right? Kiddushin Kesef could be Hanah. So in other words, he's not really giving her the money. He's really just giving her Hanah. And that's the Arif. That's good enough. The Rit says no. Says the Rit, he's really giving her the money.
Maybe how is for different reasons.
What?
Maybe by Kiddushin Hanah and by Gittin it's in the Sina.
No, he doesn't make it sound that way. He makes it sound like it's the same principle, though. That's his point. Says the Rid, a tremendous Chiddush. Says the tremendous Chiddush. Oh, I hope we have time to fully explore this Chiddush of the Rid, or at least we'll introduce it. Says the Rid, a tremendous Chiddush. He says... He says, if you're listening, Im Hayah Selah Shalom, Masrur Shalom, Amrlok, Ilu Sambi Yadda Dami, Kavish Shratz Bechat. If she authentically wants it to put it there, then it's as if he put it in her hand, since she wanted it. The Dum, the Kelev, same as the Kelev, Im Hayah Selah Shal Shneim, Shoelim, Der Kas, Amrlok, Cholev. Right? And if it's Selah Shal Shneim, they wonder if she meant to angrily or she meant to really agree. But if she meant to agree, then Komakom Sheyidna Bitsivuya, any place he puts it where she says, Ki'ilu Sambi Yadda Dami. It's as if he put it in her hand. And this is not because it's destroyed. He says clearly, this is the same as Abba Sheyik Ablimli, right? And any place you put it, that is counted. And he says, Nir Duhu Adin Gabi Get, Hayabala Nos La Gitra, Ulo Simul Sol Gabi Sela Zeh, Ulo Gabi Kar Gavis Garish, Migu Reshes, then it works. Okay, this is a big Chiddush. And then he says, if I say give it to Plomi, say, oh, you want to divorce me? Give my get to Plony. Even without Shlichus, as the Rid said on that side of the board, it works because you're putting it where I said. So says the the Rid, a tremendous Kiddush.
What do you need our Rid?
What?
What do you need our
So the Achronim ask on the Rid, if any place I give counts as putting, any place I say counts as putting in my hand, what do you need an Ari for? So here, I can go in one of two ways. First let me put it on the board. Says the Rid. Any place he puts it at her request counts as giving it to her. Right. Now, Joel asks, then what do you need an Arev? If I say give money to Plony and I'll be catch it to you, that works even without an Arev, because any place I put it, that's good enough. So here I have two choices. One choice is to say the Rid is really just a reinterpretation of Din Arev. It's really just a new pshat in Din Arev. Now, the reason why that's exceedingly radical is that if the Rid is really a reinterpretation of Din Arev, I mean, the Rid's an expansion of Dinarif. Taket is Dinarif. He doesn't say it's Dinarif, but he doesn't say it's not Dinarif, so maybe it is.
But the problem is, if this was really an expansion of Din Ariv, then this works by Dini Mamonos also, not just Gittin V'Kiddushin, right? Din Ariv works by Dini Mamonos, as a matter of fact, learned from Mamonos. And remember, even though we wanted to suggest, like the Or Sameach against the Grizz, that Din Eved Kenani might not work by Mamonos, and Din Eved Chasha might not work by Mamonos, but Din Ariv for sure works by Mamonos. That was the Gemara in Avodah Zarah that the Rambam called Hilchos Mechila. So if we're going to say the Rid is Midin Ariv, then do you have someone who asked this question? What does the Rid think about Din Ariv? A whole page on it. Great. Okay. So what the page should say, I'll tell you what it should say on that page in Chaim Sefer.
I'll correct it.
Okay. What the page should say is that there are two ways to go with this Rid. One is to say he is saying Din Ariv. He just has a more expansive Din Ariv than everyone else. Din Ariv applies to putting it anywhere. Whenever I put it somewhere, that's Din Ariv. A, that's a Chiddush in Din Ariv. B, that means it works for Dini Mamonos also. That's a big Chiddush.
That's the two different Dini with Dini Ariv. The Kiddush and Mamonos are different.
Okay, then already it's not really. Then you might as well not call it Din Ariv. Yes, Chesky?
I thought the Rid wasn't like Din Ariv, but for a different reason. The Rid never extends it to Mamonos. And like, he doesn't extend it like that. So I thought that the reason why was because once he extends it to Get, you already see that it doesn't work under Din Ariv, because Din Ariv, even if you understand it as Shlichus, still has some component of Hana being received by Get.
No, not necessarily.
You have to accept being a Hana on her behalf.
No, who says Din Ariv has to do with Hana? Maybe it's just Shlichus. You got Shlichus for Get.
No, but Shlichus for what? Meaning, he still needs to. The Shlichus is that he received the Hana.
Why can't Din Ariv just mean, if I put it someplace you tell me, it's as if I gave it to you? Why can't that be Din Ariv?
Because in Kedushin, you need to accept the Hana. So generally, that's
who says? The Rambam said that. The Rid didn't.
No, Kedushin Kazan.
Who said? The Rambam said that. Okay, there's no point arguing with you, because this is not what I want to say. Okay. I'm just saying you could say it. This is not the direction I want to go. I'm just saying, theoretically, you could say it.
The Rid now still needs Din Ariv, I think, because you combine the... according to the Rid, if somebody would go... If she says, oh yeah, you know, pay Shmuel... And you know, I really want Shmuel to have money, so pay him, and then I'll be married. And then he shows up, and Shmuel says, "Oh yeah, thank you so much. Just put it on my rock, or put on this rock outside my house, right?" So the Rid still needs both. She never told him to put a rock on that side.
Okay, now one second. Let me just explore this Rid a little. Let me explore this Rid with you a little. And I know I'm not going to want to go this way, but let me explore the Rid a little.
We won't be able to sleep tonight if we don't get up here.
I know. I we have to. Okay, yeah, we got to move quick, okay? Let's move quick, Rabosai. The Rid. Here we have the Rid. You ask a great question on the Rid. The Omni Milo asked that question on the Rid, right? The Rid, you can ask a question. Why do you need Din Ariv? Right, if anything counts as Nesina. Not to mention the fact that it's really weird. So one way, which I don't want to say, is the Rid thinks this is Din Ariv. Din Ariv means Nesina Lemakom. She'amralo chashuv k'nesina liyada. Then this would be true in dinim mamnas as well. Don't start giving me two dinim and ariv, because then we might as well not call them both ariv. Then the Rid applies to dinim mamnos as well. Okay, I'm not leaning that way. What I would lean to say is that Din Ariv is where she wants someone else to receive it. This end of the Din Ariv is where she wants someone else not to receive it, to keep it, right? Is where she wants someone else to have it. That's Din Ariv. That is has nothing to do with our. That's not the case of our sugya. That's the nari. That's not the case of our sugya. Our sugya is. I think this is going to work. Our sugya is. The red is talking about where she wants it. She just wants it in a certain location and not in her yad or chatzer. This is din arev. She says, "I don't want the money. I want someone else to have the money." That's din arev. That's not what the rid is talking about. The rid's not talking about where she wants someone else to have the money. The rid is where she says, "I want the money, but I don't want you to give me the money in my hand because my hands are busy. I don't want you to put it in my pocket because even after 3 waves of feminism, I don't have pockets. I don't want you to put it in my chatzer because we're not conveniently located near my chatzer. I want you to put it on this fire hydrant." Because that's convenient for me. Or I want you to give it to Plony to hold, because that's convenient for me. He's talking about something different than Din Arev. It's totally different than Din Arev. If so, it's just a different Metzius than Din Arev. If so, then it seems that the Rid only applies to Kiddushin v'gittin, not dinei mamonos. And if you then ask, so why should this be, basically by dinei mamonos you need mamash kinyan. By gittin v'kiddushin, even if you don't have mamash kinyan, as long as you put it someplace she wants, and she's nisratzeis b'kach, that's good enough. Why? So here we have to go on to the Me'iri quoting the Gaonim, or Mikta's Gaonim, Rov Gaonim, I forget exactly who he quotes. Why? And here we get the big Chiddush of the Me'iri. Not the Me'iri quoting the Ravid. The Me'iri quoting the Ravid is a little hard to understand. The Me'iri quoting the Rov Gaonim, I think this is Lashon.
Rov Gaonim,
right. What does the Me'iri say in the name of Rov Gaonim? He says something wild. Says the Me'iri in the name of Rov Gaonim. He says, sorry, everyone's going to have to stay glued to your seats till we finish this. Says the Me'iri in the name of Rov Gaonim. He says, No, first is Gedolei Rabbanim, then is Gedolei Mefarshim, then is Rov Gaonim. We call Makom Hei Metartzim. What did the Rov Gaonim say? First, it starts a little earlier. He says, Shemeacha Rov Gaonim Mefarshim Besela Shalah Shalobatar Schatzer Hu Elamnei Shemeacha Shela Shalah Umdem Adas Hu Shalev Shalim Yomeres Kain. Not Kinyan Chatzer. She really means it. She Machzekes Afnu Gvelz Mekach. She considers it as if she receives it. As long as she considers it as if she receives it, that's good enough. And therefore, they ask, what if Shel Shnehem? Maybe it'll work, even though they don't Kinyan Chatzer, because she considers it herself as if she received it. When we call Makom Mitartzim, she ain't Shar Mekhem Dom the Kedusha Isha. Doesn't work by Mekach Omevkar, only by Kiddushin. Why? Shariyash Dvarim Harbi Shat Sarkla Mashark Nom Chain Shrikh Likudu Shishiko Mashikh by Bob Domehem. Shashar Mekim hold the Gufa Shoulder Rukano, Sark Kniya Hashuba Yosur Neisha. Come Akam Ekar Dvarim Boshka Savnu. What does the Me'iri say? Says the Me'iri, the shame. The shame Rov Gaonim. What does the Me'iri say in the name of Rov Gaonim? He basically says the same thing as the Rid. As long as she considers herself to have received it, that's good enough. Doesn't have to be a mamish kenyan, right? He says, in dinei mamonos, or rather, let's say, in mekach, you need a kenyan mamish. You need a kenyan on the kesef. If I want to sell you a house, you need a kenyan on the kesef. But in kiddushin, she doesn't need a real kinyan.
That's really radical.
On the kesef, yes.
You're really going
just.
You're like upturning everything since the year.
Yes, just machzekes atzma mikubelis. Sorry, that should have said machzekes atzma mikubelis bekach. Just machzekes atzma mikubelis bekach. She doesn't need a full kinyan. It's enough that she considers herself to have received it. That's good enough. Why? But here he gives the yesod. Why? In Dini Mamonos, we have rules of kinyanim. All of a sudden, you're right. Until now, first of all, just until the sugya. The mainstream Rishonim assume that in the sugya also, right? The Ritva didn't say anything crazy. Tosos and the Rosh and the Rabban and the Rashba didn't say anything crazy. It's the Rid and the Meirin named Rav Gaon and the Shita L'Nodalim who say something radical. Fine. So some Rishonim, the radical Rishonim, say something radical here. They say it's different. Why does the Meirin say Kiddushin is different? Why don't you need a full Kenyan? Why is it enough to have the pseudo Kenyan? That I feel like I've gotten it because in Kiddushin, what are you not doing? What does he say?
You're not selling.
You're not actually selling the woman. Because you are actually selling something. In Nekahu Memkar, now it makes sense. I'm selling you my house. So you need to actually be, if I'm makna you a house, you need to actually be makna the money. Yeah. In order to give you a horse, I need to actually be kona the cow. In order to give you a field, I need to be kona the kesef. But in Kiddushin, is not selling herself. There's no Kenyan hakuf.
Really acquire it.
It's not a real Kenyan. Kiddushin's not a real Kenyan. She's not selling herself. He doesn't own her. He's married to her. Now, obviously, in some ways, marrying is much more serious than owning a horse. But in some ways, it's much more serious. You ask how serious the das needs to be, how serious the ritual needs to be taken. But in some ways, in what way is it less serious? In terms of owning money. Owning money is not the point. The point is doing symbolic act of a certain type of relating. So therefore, for the symbolic act, as long as she feels he's giving her money and he feels he's giving her money, who cares if there's been a chalos of Kenyan money? He felt like he gave her the money. And she felt like she received the money. Technically, it's on a rock, so she hasn't received it yet. Or technically, it's in the hands of someone who's not her shliach, so she hasn't received it yet. Or technically, it's on the sidewalk, she hasn't received it yet. But it doesn't matter. As long as they feel like they've transferred money, that's good enough, because Kiddushin is about feelings, it's not about money. Did I say it, or did the Meiri say it?
You're defending these people.
These people? The Meiri is not these people. The Meiri is my best friend.
The Rav didn't think that.
I was thinking of saying the Rav notwithstanding, but I didn't think that would help my case. The Meiri is, even if the Meiri is not, keep it, the Meiri is not only my best friend because I feel bad for him and want to do chesed after you're spurned by the Rav. The Meiri earned my friendship. Now, says the...
Okay. Doesn't accept it. He doesn't agree.
Correct. Okay. This is the Rov Gaonim in the Meiri, right? Because she is not selling herself. So, a...
The Ramban says in Beit of the Rov Gaonim, we're not only the Chachamim.
An experience of Nesina is enough even if it's not a legal transfer. That's the Chiddush of the Meiri. But I think that's not only Meiri, I think that's the Tosos Rid as well. What is the Meiri and the Tosos Rid saying? The Meiri and the Tosos Rid, okay, give me, it's, I counted all the times that everyone else talked. And it's only 10:13 now. So the Meiri, okay, we really have to finish this. There's no point stopping in the middle of this unit. Okay, even if we have to mikatzer a little. The Meiri name Rav Gaonim is saying Kiddushin is a big Kiddush. I know it's a big Kiddush. Sel Shel Shneim is a big Kiddush. That Kiddushin is not like Mechel Chomemkar. You don't need a real Kinyan. You don't even need a Din Arif. You just need Machzek Esvav Mikabels. You need the feeling, the experience of giving. She considers herself to have received. He considers himself to have given. That's good enough. Why? Because Kiddushin is not about money. Kiddushin is about symbolizing a certain commitment and relationship. And as long as they feel like they've given and received, that's a good enough symbol of their relationship. It's not quid pro quo. Dini Meikach Memkar is quid pro quo. If you haven't acquired the money, you haven't given me the field. If you haven't acquired the horse, you haven't given me the cow. That, but Kiddushin is not quid pro quo. It's not that in exchange for the money, I get her ishus. No, it's just a way of symbolizing this commitment and this relationship. So as long as we feel that it's been accomplished, that is good enough. You might say that L'chomer and L'kula. Remember I said maybe she writes with Kishuma is only by Kiddushin. She needs to feel very sure of what she's gotten. L'chomer and L'kula. Even if it's on the sidewalk, as long as she feels sure she's gotten it, that's good enough. And I think that's shot in the Tosas Red. I don't think he's made an Arim in Kolzer Kula. I think he's a special Kula in Kiddushin. And I'll explain why. I'll prove why in a second. And I would just add the Sheet Lenod Lami. The Sheet Lenod Lami is a little funny. He says, what's his chap? He says, how is this? It's not a real Kenyan. But what is it? What's his two words summary of the Sheet Lenod Lami? Nichnesu be Bishmirasa. He has handed it over to her Shmira. Right? Meaning, if she was a Shomer, him putting it on a rock would be enough that she would now be the Shomer. Right? Okay. It, meaning, there's a transfer that's good enough for Kenyan, and then there's a transfer that's good enough for Shmira. If you agree to watch something and I put it on a rock, now you're responsible because I put it on a rock where you could watch it. Shmirasa. Nichnesu Bishmirasa counts. Now, why does Nichnesu Bishmirasa count?
Because Chamitzer also counts. Shomer Sachar is Chayev, according to many Mishogim.
Correct. Okay. So the the hour really is late. Maybe we'll save the raya for next time. I'll just point out you have the same question about the Shita Lono Delami. Let's just make a little box. Shita Lono Delami says putting it in her shmira counts. Meaning he didn't put it in her property. He didn't make a kinyan that she owns it. What he did was put it someplace where now she is in charge of it, where now she is watching it, is responsible for it instead of him. And what rules does he use? He doesn't use rules he just invented of how they feel. He doesn't use rules of feeling. He uses rules of shmira. If he puts it someplace where she's now guarding it, where she's now watching and in control of it, then that's good enough. Why is shmira good enough? After all, it's not a real kinyan. Why is it good enough that he put it someplace where she is the shomer? So here you can have the same question, same two possibilities. Maybe you could say that this is, it's a little hard to say it's midin arif, right? Because he says arif only counts from abid mamon. But maybe he thinks this counts as ibud mamon. When you put in her shmira, now you're not watching it, she is, so now you've lost your money because you're not watching it anymore. So it's a stretch. Maybe it's included in Din Arev, but I don't prefer that. Or maybe it's like the Rid and the Rov Gaonim in the Meiri. Maybe it's like the Rid and the Rov Gaonim in the Meiri. What he's saying is that for Mekachu Memkar, you need to do a real Nesina. But for Kiddushin, you don't need to do a real Nesina. You just need to somehow symbolize moving this from you to her. How can you symbolize that? So the Rov Gaonim say it's all subjective, psychological. He says, no, you need something objective. You have to at least put it in her shmira, put it someplace where she is now in charge of it. But even though that's not a benefit, and that's not considered a sin in Kol Tarkula, that's good enough for Kiddushin, because in Kiddushin, you don't need a full Haknah. You just need a mice and a sin of the Alma. Let me just summarize, even though there's a lot more to say, and I have no more room on the board, and we didn't get to the Gorin Gittin. Maybe we'll pick... Maybe I'll just say it outside. Okay. What I think the Shita Lenod Lami, the Rid, and the Rov Gaonim Meiri are saying is very pashut. In Mekach Memkar, in Choshen Mishman Dini Mamanos, in order to do a Kinyan Kesef, I need to be Makne you the Kesef. But in Gittin V'Kiddushin, I don't need to be Makne you the Kesef. I just need a Maisa Nesinas Kesef. Maybe that makes it easier. I need a Maisa Nesinas Kesef. Why is a Maisa Nesina good enough? Because you're not giving me anything in exchange. You're just entering into a relationship of Kiddushin. There's no sale going on here. So a mice in a Sina, not a Hakna. And just how do you define a mice in a Sina? The Meiri name Rav Gaonim says, mice in a Sina is defined psychologically, but I feel I received. The Rid says, mice in a Sina is defined also. He's talking this Rasis Bekach. Right? Maybe it's like, you've done what I said. And the Shita Lenod says, how do you define a mice in a Sina? It has to at least be putting it under my aegis, under my control, if not putting it in my possession.
What about the Gemara and Gittin? Have a matanam nasahafsa with the get? Since it's miyafsa, it's not going to work. Meaning miyafsa doesn't work. Or rather, when you give it back away, that's when you have the kinyan in the actual near. That sounds like you actually need to own it. It's not just you have to
okay.
It.
Okay, this is a big... Okay, there are Gittin implications, but the hour is exceedingly late. So I'm going to have to wish you a good Shabbos, and we... We almost finished the Makoros.
Where would you
I'm just going to pick up tomorrow being Monday.
I'm just going to pick up tomorrow with the Tosfos written, Gittin Daf Ayin Chesem and Beis, and the Rambam. So we'll just have to briefly finish up a few details and then go on very quickly. We're going to go on in the Gemara till the middle of that Tesam Aleph. What? Yeah, I'm going to mention, that's what I'm getting, obviously. I'm just going to mention that briefly, and we will, yes, and I will send up a course later, but meanwhile, I would like us to look at the Gemara on Daf, when you finish this Makor Sheet, the Gemara in Daf Tesam and Aleph, and the Tosfos and Tosfos Rid about Cheres, the Gemara in Daf Tesam and Aleph, the Tosfos and the Tosfos Rid about and the Rashba about Cheres, and the Rambam on Ishus Gimel Gimel. So if you have time to go on to the Gemara, says the Gemara on Daf Tesam and Aleph, Tosfos, Rashba, and the Rid about Cheres, and the Rambam Gimel Gimel with the Lechem Mishnah there, with the Lechem Mishnah, but I'll send out full Makoros to Mirza Shem later. Okay, thank you for your patience. Anyone who wants to kill me for something I said, now's your opportunity. First of all, you should know there are lots of Akron who say at least in Gittin that only you need a Mice and a Sina. So if you ask, what about the Gemara of Harizah Gitech Ben Nir Shali? That's what you're asking about? That why does Harizah Gitech Ben Nir Shali not work? And Tulsa says because it, not because it just happens to be the same object, it's an internal. It's an internal contradiction. So I have to look at the Lashon of Tosos. But the simplest answer is that I'm not talking about Tosos here. You mean Vav, right? Yes.
I don't remember.
Yes.
Yeah? Okay. Yes. By the way,
this is
the Granat. On the very bottom, I think. It's the last of them.
Granat?
Yeah.
There's a Granat?
Shelotzer shisha tiskebe mosel, mastik shiteng yoda.
That's not a Granat. That's a Me'ivri and Tosos Ridge.
Just telling you.
No, thank you. Okay, maybe I'll look at it. Thank you.
I don't think Rav Chaim would agree. I think he would agree with Bagitin, but I don't think he would agree with
Bagitin. That's of course the important point.
Well, they want
right.
to do both. They yes. want to have
I will mention that. And obviously.
Kiddushin, right? Isn't the whole point they want to get Gittin and Kiddushin?
But I'll show why it's not so pashut.
All right.
I have one line in the Gemara that supports me.
If we were going to tell you, it's only Mibchinat Hashem and Mitzim Chayah.
Baruch Hashem. So if all you need is a Mais Nesina, then what's the problem if he says Hanir Shali? Unless you say because of Krisos. Because there is a problem of Krisos. The problem isn't that the Nir is not hers. The problem is that the Nir is his. As opposed to all these cases. He doesn't need to mark it to the wife, but he needs to take his tentacles off it.
Interesting.
Meaning, what if he said Hareza Gitech Vanir Shel Ruvein?
That doesn't work.
Maybe it would.
I feel like that's not a Gemara Mefereshes. I haven't learned Gittin, but like I feel like that now.
No, that's too weird. I mean, I happen to know that it's not. Mm-hmm. I would have noticed if that was a Gemara. So what I'm claiming is maybe that's a special problem because it's the Baals. Because after all, look, a lot of Rishonim say, are you familiar with the fact that many Rishonim say that there's no Hakna by Yisuri Hana? There's not even Bailus by Yisuri Hana?
Right.
The Gemara says before she can write a get in Yisuri Hana. It's not her get. There is, he doesn't see it.
Okay, I'm not saying I'm sure you have tons of rye, especially if most Rishonim think that way. I'm just saying what you're going to say for those. You're going to say so it's the Krisis.